It's time for TWiNT This Week in Tech. We'll take a look at Windows 10. 3 days in, is it a big hit or a belly flop? A new button that can get you more toilet paper, and the end of drones as we know it. It's all next on TWiNT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiNT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiNT This Week in Tech, episode 521, recorded Sunday, August 2nd, 2015. I like big butts. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Whisper Sync for Voice and Amazon and Audible Innovation. Enjoy those books you've been meaning to read but just haven't had the time. Learn how to add narration to your Kindle ebooks by visiting amazon.com/TWiNT. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that is the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money, whether you've got millions or you're just starting out. Visit wealthfront.com/TWiNT to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's wealthfront.com/TWiNT. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the best way to create a beautiful website or online store. Enter the offer code TWiNT and you'll get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/TWiNT and entering the promo code TWiNT. It's time for TWiNT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the weekly tech news with the smartest journalists in the business. And we got a great panel for you. Mark Millian is here. It's always great to have you on, Mark.
Looking forward to a good time.
Bloomberg Business Week.
I'm sorry. That's mean.
That didn't take very long.
No. Well, I thought I'd kick it right off at the beginning. Bloomberg.com/tech. Mark likes to come with his buddy, which is great. Nate is here. Olivares Giles from the Wall Street Journal. Good to see you again, Nate.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You've been on TNT and other shows. I see you all the time now, which is
times.
Great. Yeah. And Owen, J.J. Stone, martial artist, television star.
Somebody superimpose on this, will work for tech.
Will work for tech.
Just put a picture
what the hell
there,
is so. That? That is huge.
It's a touch Wacom tablet because, you know, again, Uncle Leo, I'm out here doing serious work with serious things.
Is that like
things.
A Cintiq kind serious of a thing? People.
Yep. It is. It's the cheaper one. It's the 13-inch.
Cheap
multi-touch.
Cintiq.
Multi-touch.
So you're also an artist.
Yes. So besides just looking good, I'm actually kind of smart.
A man and many talents.
And a master of none.
Do you have a Shield tablet there? Because if you do, you better watch out. It might blow up and catch fire.
I think only 4 people in America have a Shield tablet.
They're
the
cool.
Recall wasn't great. The recall was not great.
Yeah, no. Did they say how many they're going to have to recall? It's a fire hazard.
They sold 4.
They sold 4. I know some people who bought these because... This was a very fast tablet designed for gaming primarily, Android tablet. And a lot of people were singing its praises. But those sold between July 2014 and July 2015, which is now, might have a little problem. You should look for the battery section and see if it's B01. If it is, you can use it. If it's Y01, you should arrange a replacement as soon as possible. Our public service announcement. On behalf, I have the NVIDIA Shield Android TV, and I love it. It's great.
88,000
That's
tablets.
The newer one, right? It's kind of like a game console.
Yeah,
I think they have sort of
gaming.
Like a cloud gaming service that you can download like console games.
They have like NVIDIA has like an on live type thing where it streams the games to the device. I haven't played that. I should really try it. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, I've played it. It's pretty good.
Is it?
It's not bad. It's mostly like PlayStation 3 games, like last
it's older games. Yeah.
But they're fun, and there's not a lot of hiccups. So
I have an Xbox One right next to it. I feel like that's all I need.
That's better.
That's
actually.
All I need. You know what else I have right here in my hip flask? A copy of Windows 10.
Oh.
Well, how did you
like
have
a,
that
you
right
got like
there?
A gun holster?
Like, yeah, he's got a holster.
I did not see that behind you.
I am fast. Windows 10 came out on Wednesday.
That looks nice. I like the UI.
And, love it. They brought back the start menu. It's now it does have some tiles on it, but you can customize it.
Ask me anything.
Ask Cortana. And she but is
they're
ready.
Using like the Reddit tagline.
AMA. I never thought of that.
Anything to get people to use Bing, you know? Yeah.
I have to say, I think Microsoft finally got a version of Windows that is as good as Windows 7. Windows 8 was a little bit of a disappointment.
Huge, massive.
Yeah. This is pretty good. Now, they said 67 million people so far. 14 million in the first day did the upgrade. And I think that that's limited only by, yeah, this is touch. That's limited only by Microsoft's bandwidth, I guess, because there are roughly 600 million people who could use this. This is the new Edge browser. Not really ready yet. Doesn't support plugins. And so for that reason, Microsoft continues to include Internet Explorer.
And everyone will still use Chrome.
And immediately, what did I download? I downloaded Chrome, of course. Yeah.
It's one of those things. Just you have infinite funds. Just work on it and get it ready when you launch something. Because making someone use something else in the meantime is going to make them forget about whatever new thing you're going to do. Like, once they already put it out of their mind, when they get something new, they're going to forget about it.
You know, it's an interesting question. Because when they first announced that they were going to release Windows 10 in 2015, they said fall.
Mm-hmm.
They said later in the year. And then all of a sudden, contrary to everybody's expectations, they said, yeah, July 29th. And I have a feeling that they still intend to finish it in the fall. You know what I mean? Threshold 2, which is the big service pack that will still be out in the fall. Mary Jo Foley said this on our Windows Weekly show, is probably really the final version.
Well, there's some things that I'm kind of a little irritated by. There's like no real compatibility between Office and Windows 10 itself that is any different than Windows 8 and Office. It's just kind of like they haven't leveraged all of their OneDrive, you know, cloud, you know, system.
Apparently, OneDrive is still troubling too on Windows 10.
It just seems as though the Microsoft, you know, Windows team and the Office team aren't really quite communicating the way they should.
Right.
It's kind of a crappy user experience.
Microsoft did want to ship it with Skype built in. Still doesn't. You have to download a copy of Skype. I think the next version probably will. And I already took the Candy Crush Saga tile off of here. But good news, Candy Crush Saga is not downloaded. It just puts a tile up saying, do you want it? And you then go to the store and download it. It feels fast. It's snappy. It probably should be at least as fast, if not faster, on any machine that can run Windows 7 or 8. I think it's beautiful. I think it looks good. And I think bringing back the start menu and getting rid of the charms bar does a lot towards making this a very usable Windows. Instead of the charms bar, now they have an action center, which has customizable little icons in the bottom, so you can customize it to do the things you want.
How often do you find yourself with that machine actually touching it in day-to-day?
You know, surprisingly a lot. You see, I'm touching it now, and you even reached out to touch it.
Yeah.
And this is a Dell
XPS 13. It's a nice little gimmick to be able to touch it. But I've played around with the Chromebook Pixel a bit over the last year or so. They've got the touch built screen in, but I almost never use it.
Yeah.
I just hate fingerprints on my display.
Well, that's one side effect is it does smudge things up.
My OCD.
Have you played your Xbox on it?
I haven't yet. Paul Thurrott was doing it while we did Windows Weekly. He said it works very well. He was playing Call of Duty. I said, come on, it's got to be latent. He said, no, I have a fast network. But it's not, it's pretty snappy. Maybe there's a little hesitation.
Almost got me want to buy Xbox One just so I could try it and play it for that reason.
You know what? I feel bad. I should have tried it. I feel like if you're going to play games, you should play on your Xbox One. If you own and you have to own an Xbox One for this to work.
Yeah. What if you're just trying to go into another room and you want to play during dinner or while you're taking a bath or someplace in the garage? I don't know. There's some place in the house where you might want to play, not on your big screen.
I guess that makes sense. So it's kind of more if you had like a Surface or maybe a Yoga or some sort of tablet-y version of Windows.
You got that NVIDIA thing with the game, and it's for people like that.
Right.
That want to.
So I'm in the bathtub. I've got my Surface Pro 3, and I can stream my game and continue to play in the bathtub.
There you go.
This is for a world that cannot not play a game for even 5
Which
minutes.
Which is just this world.
Which is our world. The world live in. Yeah. We'll see how successful it is. It seems like it's gotten off to a pretty strong start. I haven't heard any showstoppers. Have you, Nathan, or anybody saying?
No, we actually loaded it at the Wall Street Journal. We loaded it on a laptop that was about 8 years old, and it actually felt quicker. I mean, it was great.
It should.
It was great.
It should.
I was really, really surprised.
Actually, Microsoft successfully done that with the last three versions of Windows. 7, 8, and now 10 all were a little faster than the previous version, which is pretty impressive.
Given an old computer like that, that's a little bit, that's a feat, though.
It was special. It was special.
There were two big stories, and I suspect we're going to see a lot more. We're not done seeing these. Complaining about two things. One is Wi-Fi Sense. And Brian Krebs, who is, I think, a great security guy and very trustworthy in his blog, Krebs on Security, I think kind of got it wrong, warning people that Windows 10 shares your Wi-Fi with contacts. Now, he did write this story July 15th, which means he wasn't using the final version of Windows. So let's give you the rundown on Wi-Fi Sense. First of all, this is an interesting technology. The idea originally was to log you into captive portals, those hotspots that require you to see a start page and log in, and they were going to fill it with dummy information, so it was kind of automatically getting you on open access spots. But the other thing it does is it shares, or says, and Brian says will do, is shares your Wi-Fi password with friends. So when friends come over, they don't, in the past, what you'd have to do if they wanted to be on your Wi-Fi, we do this with visitors to the studios, we either say, the password is, and now they have your password, or if you want to be kind of protective of it, you take their device, you log them in.
Or in most people's homes, when you get there, like, I have to read it off the back of the router. Like, let me go behind the TV. And
so the idea of Wi-Fi Sense was that you could turn it on. First of all, you'd have to turn it on. And then it would allow anyone who's in Skype or Outlook or Hotmail, but you'd have to have a Windows 10 device, either a phone or a Windows 10 computer, would automatically get onto your Wi-Fi network. They wouldn't get your password. It wouldn't store your password. It would be a kind of a token that allows you, that could be revoked by you later. But what Brian got wrong is, first of all, you have to turn this on. It is turned on by default by Express settings. But then you have to go network by network and say, yes, share this network. If you don't do that explicitly, it doesn't do anything. I think this is not an issue.
I think it's maybe a little bit alarmist. It's still a little unclear. This is actually a feature that debuted in Windows 8.1 and really wasn't ever very popular. They kind of refashioned it in 10, and I think the passwords and all that stuff is just shared over encrypted networks anyway.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a super, super big deal, but, I mean, this is – Microsoft is promising continual security updates, downloading in the background of your operating system so you don't get, like, alerts all the time. So if there was any issue – this should be something that they've already addressed.
I don't think there is. In any way,
I'm not sure there is.
I can tell. We talked about it a little bit on Security Now. Steve Gibson wasn't sure. And, as I've played with it, I just feel like this, if you have to opt in twice for this to happen.
If you have to opt in twice, plus it's all sent over encrypted.
It's a token. It's secure. Yeah. Now, if somebody comes up with an attack, I'll say I was wrong. And maybe that's what Brian is assuming, is that there's some sort of fundamental insecurity that might be taken advantage of.
Everything can get hacked, first of all. And second of all, I don't even really know why you need that besides the fact of just wanting to hop on really quick. Because normally most people know their passwords. Like you say, if you got to go to that one person's house, get off the back of the router, whatever. But why even give someone the opportunity to find a hole to drill in to get in through something else? Like, we don't have enough holes already in things.
Brian does update his blog post with a rebuttal from Ed Bott at ZDNet. And I think that Ed wrote a pretty good rebuttal about this. We've had Ed on many times. I think he's smart. I think Brian's smart. Brian, I think, points out probably properly that there are potential problems here.
Yep.
But it is, you have to opt in several times. You're asked several times. You want to do this? You want to do this? The other one that we're going to see a lot more of and is a little bit more insidious, it started with the Boy Genius Report, and it's about the Windows 10 EULA. Here's an example of the kind of headline we'll be seeing a lot of in the next few days. Windows 10 is spying on almost everything you do.
As is Facebook, Google, the entire internet, your phone,
like the NSA, your mom, like
everyone.
Everybody's spying on you.
There definitely is a tendency across the technology industry to do more sort of crunching of data within the cloud, and your operating system in places you thought traditionally would just be sort of an offline experience, like all done locally on the machine. They're now offloading a lot more of that to the cloud. Like, there was a big blow up when the newest version of Mac OS 10 came out because the Spotlight search now sends all of your inputs to the cloud, even if your intention is to search for documents on your machine.
And so, when you use Siri or Google Now, or I presume Cortana, all of that is sent to the server. So I think that that's the point. And here's where it's a little deceptive. So Boy Genius Report quotes a paragraph from Microsoft's EULA that does sound scary. Finally, we will access, disclose, and preserve personal data, including your content, such as the content of your emails, other private communications, or files in private folders, when we have a good faith belief that doing so is necessary to, one, comply with the applicable law, or to respond to valid legal process, or two, protect our customers from spam, or three, operate and maintain the security of our services, including to prevent or stop an attack on our systems or networks, and four, and this is kind of interesting, this comes from an actual case that Microsoft had a problem with, protect the rights or property of Microsoft. They had a Microsoft employee who was leaking
to the press.
And they went into his email and got in a lot of trouble for doing that. They said, no, we won't do it again. We'll have a third party do it. In fact, they say this. We will not inspect a customer's private content ourselves, but we may refer the matter to law enforcement. That's in regard to piracy. So what's deceptive about just reading this paragraph is you're reading it out of context. They're referring to OneDrive. They're not referring to your personal hard drive. They're referring to networked stuff. And so I think...
That's completely standard for everybody. All types of Dropbox, Box,
if it's on the
iCloud,
internet, and they have access to it, they're required to give it to law enforcement, period. So in a way, this is up front of Microsoft is to point this out. But don't, you know, at first, when I read this at first, and I even talked about it yesterday on the radio show, I'm kind of embarrassed because I said, oh my God, they can look at our hard drive. No, there's no evidence that they can look at your personal files. This is stuff that goes across the internet. But you raised a good point, Mark. More stuff goes over the internet than maybe people realize.
Oh, yeah. And it's just that's the direction that everything is going. I mean, even Apple, which is almost made like a marketing stance out of we respect your privacy and your data, even they are moving more toward sending more data to their cloud to sort of give you a better profile and give you better answers. But the trade-off is that it's going to the internet, which you're giving up some privacy in that process.
Right. I think the question isn't really if it's going to that company, if it's going online, if it's going to their cloud. I think really the question should be, what are they doing with it once it's sent over there, right? If you want Spotlight to search both the web and your computer locally, it's going to have to... It has to. And if you want Cortana to do the exact same thing, if you want Google Now to do this, they have to know what those search terms are so they can reconcile whether that's something online, on the web, or that's something locally on your laptop, on your phone, on your tablet, whatever it is, right? So I don't really think it's the question of are they doing it or not is a bit of a moot point. It's like, okay, they're doing it. What are they doing with that data once they get it, right? And like you said, Apple's made that stance. We're going to be, you know, privacy is going to be number one. We're not going to exploit you.
The only way, though, that you can do that as Apple is by not having access to it in any way. Because if you have access to it and you are presented with a legal subpoena or warrant, you're doing business in the United States. You have to give it to them. You can't just – I mean, I know Twitter and others have said, whoa. But ultimately, they always have to give it.
Yeah, Twitter has gone to court to protect certain people. Often they lose.
You always lose because that's the law.
But wouldn't it be nice? I mean, okay, so with all the Prism stuff, with all the NSA stuff, what we kind of found out is that almost every single one of these companies at some point was complying with the NSA in some respect,
right?
Whether we like it or not, whether they fought or not. What would be nice is if they just tapped us on the shoulder and said, hey, Nate, the NSA wants to look at some of your stuff.
They're
this
not
is
allowed
what we're going
to
do.
With a national security letter, it says specifically you can't tell anybody.
But yeah.
You can't speak on it.
But these are laws that are made by our lawmakers. These are laws that are made by our Congress.
Well, we need to go
Congress.
To lawmakers, not exactly. Apple and Google and Microsoft. We go to lawmakers. I think this is Microsoft properly saying, hey, you should know.
They're doing what they need to do, and I think they're doing as much as they can.
If law enforcement asks us, we have to turn it over. You should know that.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get caught with something, don't put it on your device and don't put it on the cloud.
Don't put it on the cloud is the key.
I don't understand how people just don't get this anymore. Like when people get hacked for things over and over again, you hear about celebrities, all these things in the news. Even dumb people can see at some point someone getting hacked. If there's something you care about, don't put it on a place that can get accessed online and don't send it to a place where it's stored online.
And if you want
change it from murders last week to puppy kitten. So when it comes to a search filter, it doesn't get red flagged or something.
Well, and if you want to preserve your privacy and you want to put stuff on the internet, there's only one way to do that, in my opinion, which is to encrypt it before it goes out of your machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Encryption is the solution, strong encryption. That's a inconvenience. I can't send Owen a message unless we've exchanged keys ahead of time. Actually, it doesn't have to be ahead of time, but you have to have a mechanism for getting my key to read messages I send to you, vice versa.
Phone call, a text message.
It's complicated. So people,
yeah, it's super complicated. Yeah.
It's complicated.
If you care about your privacy.
But there are companies who are trying to do things like BitTorrent has an application called Sync, which is peer-to-peer file sharing with encryption on both ends and an exchange of keys. They're not actually ever seeing the files. Right. They just create the protocol so you can send stuff.
Although
that's a consumer-friendly application.
It's never
not too
been open source, and nobody knows how BitTorrent Sync works.
This is
so
true.
So you're trusting that BitTorrent. I do trust them, but I wish they'd open source this, or at least let somebody audit the code. Because they've never, Steve Gibson's asked many times, well, how does this work? And they've never revealed that.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. But there are things you can do to encrypt your data. I probably wouldn't use Microsoft's BitLocker. Use an open source encryption program. I wish TrueCrypt were still around, but something like TrueCrypt. And you can protect yourself. I think the other thing, though, is tech companies have to make a strong effort not to have this information to share with law enforcement.
So what does that mean? Because if they're providing services where we store our files and our information, we rely on them for both our personal lives and our work lives, what don't they store to give us better services so they can more quickly recognize what we're asking for and give it to us in a timely manner?
They should encrypt the messages end-to-end, and they should encrypt files end-to-end. But when they want to sort of be able to analyze our information in order to do the types of things that Google can do,
like
that everybody loves
ads.
With Android and show ads. But also sort of some of the personalization stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
And
they
need to be able to look through the contents of your email and
Google
your contacts.
Google Now is worth it. As far as I'm concerned, have at it, Google, because I love Google Now. It's worth it for them to take my stuff. But just understand, anything I'm giving Google is available to anybody, including the government. And just don't give them stuff I don't want them to have. Right, so you're right, Nate. In order to give you these services, they have to do things like
that. In order to build the things that we're asking them to build now, we're still using for free, largely, even though we complain about the privacy issues. I mean, it's a bit hypocritical for us to use this stuff and then be like, oh, I don't like the way that you, aren't respecting my privacy and the way that you're not, you're complying with the government. It's like we should be pressuring lawmakers to be more transparent and to be more straightforward. And then if you don't like the privacy compromises you're making, you shouldn't be using the things in the first place. It comes down to a better consumer understanding. I think a lot of times we give up more than we realize that we're giving away.
Maybe that's why these articles are important. Go ahead.
On the flip side, Jared from Subway also did just get busted for doing some really skeevy stuff on Craigslist.
Now, wait a minute.
Emails.
Now, let's not indict the poor guy.
I'll add allegedly on it. But to the point when I'm just giving the other argument for what other people say. Well, what about the criminals that are hiding in the internet and they're in the Facebook and they're in your inbox? Like, there are times where they do catch people doing things online, allegedly or not allegedly. So, if we create all these laws where no one can get information and there's bad people out there doing stuff, like I said, I was just giving the other side of it.
I agree.
Privacy. I'm just saying that when something bad happens and you catch somebody, now it's, thank you, Jeebus. But when you don't, there's shady stuff going on in the world. So
Well, it goes both ways, but like kind of as you brought up.
Somebody's saying, Owen played the Jared card.
Which is difficult. It just goes down to transparency. If a cop wants to come into my apartment, they have to go and get a warrant, and then when they knock on the door or knock down the door, they have to present that warrant.
Yeah,
if I'm
due
not
process.
Home,
that's
if
all
I'm
we're
not
asking
home,
for.
I don't get to see the warrant, but if I am, I do, right? They can still come into my apartment and rifle through my stuff, but I have that layer of protection.
And they went to a judge to get it, and there's some judicial oversight.
We can have that for online, too, and to say that we can't, I think, is just a bit lazy and disingenuous. I mean, we don't have that now, and the people who are rifling through our stuff online don't want that extra layer to be there. So if we want that as consumers, I think we have to take a stance, right?
Yeah.
These protections exist in some of our offline worlds. If we want some of these things online, I mean, you know, our lawmakers aren't going to be doing this for us. It's going to have to come from us. It's going to have to come from
regular. We need the same time subpoena where the cop shows up at my door and he shows up at Facebook's door like, look, we're about to rifle through your stuff. Same time. So everybody knows what's going on. Because I do understand that point extremely.
Yeah, right. So, okay.
Of not knowing.
Yeah.
So figure out that a same time thing where it's like, look, yeah. You want his information? Call him or send somebody out there right now. Let him know that we're about to do this and let's do it.
Yeah. But if they're going to knock down my door, they don't just tell my landlord. But True. If they're going through my stuff on Facebook, they just tell Facebook and not me. That's not really cool to me.
No.
But how do we change that? How do we change that? If that's the status quo as it exists now, how do we change that is kind of what I'm getting at.
Don't know. But it's
we are not lawmakers.
Yeah.
But I don't think we even have lawmakers anymore. They haven't made any good laws in a while. They're slacking on that.
They're slackers big time. Taking all summer off. Hey, if you want to, you can go into the settings on Windows 10 and disable a lot of these. You got to look at the privacy settings. It's kind of like Facebook, same thing.
Yep.
Page after page, but you can go in there. Unfortunately, in the install process, they've got this nice button that says Express Settings. Whatever you want, Microsoft. And I have to admit, every single time I don't want to go through all of those. But you can go back after the fact and look at them. And if you really want, you can read the 12,000-word EULA. And find out what it really, really means. Don't trust. A lot of these blogs are giving you little excerpts that aren't really maybe completely the full story. We're going to take a break. Got Owen J.J. Stone, O Doctor, with us.
It's on the setting. You got it. On my face.
That's pretty. I like that. That's
it's
good.
Beautiful. Skylight.
That's what it looks like when you're on your way to Mars.
Somebody said the contrast messed up. I'm turning white.
What is this? Is this a new website? IQMZ? What is that?
It's my website. It's my long-standing website, and I got a new project that I'm going to be launching on. I'm working on behind the scenes.
It stands for Inquiring Minds Media.
Yes, sir. This is 2002.
It's making itself over. Since 2002?
Yeah, I've been on the internet for a while, Uncle Lee. I told you. Renaissance man.
You are. Also with us from the Wall Street Journal, Nate Olivares-Giles. Is it Giles or Giles?
Giles.
Giles. Sorry about that.
All good.
But he's full of guile. And from Bloomberg Business Week, our friend Mark Millian. Great to have all three of you. Are you over 30 yet?
Not yet.
Ay, ay, ay.
He's a baby.
You started at like the LA Times when you're like a teenager, right?
Kind of. I was at my first internship while I was in college.
College.
First serious newspaper.
Amazing.
He was old enough to drink, though, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
So you weren't a teenager.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe not legally, but.
My son used to play this song that starts out, teen drinking. You would know this, Doctor. Teen drinking is a very, very bad thing. Yo, but I got a fake ID, though. You ever hear that? I don't know. I don't know what the song is, but anyway. I don't know why I'd say you'd know it. It was rap. You're a big rap fan, right?
I've heard it before, yes.
Yes, you might have heard that.
I can't remember who it is. Yeah. It's going to bother me now for the next half hour.
You know what?
The chat room
will tell us within seconds.
True story. Crowdsourcing.
Drinking is a very bad thing. Yo, I got a fake ID, though. I got a real education for my son, driving him to school in high school. I learned all about rap. He'd teach me old school, new school. Lil Wayne, all of that stuff.
You need to go download, or if you got Apple Music, get it free. Go listen to Lil Dicky. Lil Dicky. He is a comedic rapper. He just kickstarted his album and got fully funded. Dropped his album on a Friday, a weird day. But he's awesome. He's like a comedian rapper. It's really weird, funny stuff.
It's Tipsy and Jaquan. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. Jaquan. He was a largely irrelevant St. Louis rapper. Yeah.
Largely irrelevant.
We worked on
That's almost the best one to explain it.
With Rap Genius, we worked with them to analyze hip-hop musics this week.
They
helped us figure out who are some of the most popular apps in hip-hop songs. Twitter has like about 850 mentions recently in popular hip-hop songs.
Well, that just shows you.
Uber's big.
Instagram is big, and Instagram, you got to search the gram, because every time I hear it in rap song, it's the gram.
The gram.
That's what rappers use it as.
Instead of Instagram, they say the gram.
The gram.
I mean, isn't that what you call it? That's what I call it pretty much every day.
Tinder, Snapchat.
It's Instagram. You don't call Twitter Uber. Twits.
Yeah. Huh. I think Bacardi did so well because it rhymed with party. Instagram would be smart if they would rhyme with something.
Well, it's the gram. Gram. Rhymes with ham, scam.
Here's Beyonce. Every girl in here get to look me up and down, all on Instagram, cake by the pound. That's good. I like that. Here's Jay-Z. When I was talking Instagram, last thing you wanted was your picture snapped. Kanye, he Instagram his watch like hashtag mad rich alert. Did he say the words hashtag?
I think he does. Yeah.
Yes, he does. Hashtag wow. Mad rich alert.
That kind of has scans. That scans.
You're happy.
ASAP Rocky, couple of Instagram likes, now she famous. J. Cole, Cole on Twitter.
Beep.
Beep, can't get a follow. Wow. So
you should have your own show reading rap lyrics.
I should, because I read it so I'm like with
dramatic reading.
It sounds like I'm sitting next to Jay-Z.
Hit me on my Snapchat. Hit me on my Nextel chirp, says Childish Gambino.
Why would someone chirp? Who's chirping? Are they birds?
Whale. Whale says.
Wale.
I'm sorry.
Whale.
Spell whale.
It's Wale.
I'm an old guy. Don't.
Hey. Wale's got an album out with Jerry Seinfeld. He's old.
Oh, he's old school too. Yeah. I use a Uber to scoop me to SLS. What do you expect? A little groupie to see my crib? It sounds cryptic to me. It's cryptic.
Well, you're reading it instead of...
And that was from Whale.
Yeah.
And now, from Whale.
All right.
Oh, man. Enough. The hippy hoppy, hippity hop, hip hop to the just can't stop. Our show today, actually, this is fun. I'm excited about this. Our show today brought to you by WhisperSync for Voice. It's an innovation from Amazon and Audible. Amazon sells ebooks, right? You read on your Kindle. Audible sells audiobooks. And I did this with the Goldfinch, and I loved it. You can add narration to your Kindle ebooks. So this was so cool. I'm reading on my tablet. I downloaded the Goldfinch in text, and I downloaded the audio on my Paperwhite. And as I'm reading, I'm listening, and it's highlighting the words. By the way, great for early readers, for young people learning to read. But it's also cool because you can switch where you left off. So if you're in the car listening to the book, and then you get home and you want to pick up your Kindle, you could pick up and read it on your Kindle. It knows where you left off. So you're always going to pick up right where you stopped reading. It's a great way to enjoy those books you've been meaning to read, but you haven't had the time. I like Kindle. I like Audible. Together, it's awesome. You can learn how to add narration to your Kindle ebooks by visiting a special page we've set up for you, amazon.com/twit. You can do it right on Amazon. You buy the Kindle book, and you'll see add audio companion. By the way, it's usually less expensive to buy both than it would be to buy each individually. You switch between listening and reading on the Kindle app as well as on your Kindle tablet. And there are now 60,000 Kindle bestsellers and popular titles with WhisperSync audio built in. I like doing this, and I do it a lot now because I do sometimes like to read it, and sometimes I like to listen. For those who like to do both, WhisperSync for Voice. Learn how to do it at amazon.com/twit. And once I figured it out, I kind of started doing it more often with a lot of books. It's a really great way to go. We're talking tech. Mark Millian, Nathan Olivares Giles, Mr. Owen J.J. Wilson. I think enough about Windows 10. We've kind of covered it, right? Don't have to go obsessive about it. Do you think people should upgrade now? Do you think they should wait?
It depends. If you're using Windows 8, upgrade today.
Jeez, yeah.
Today,
yeah.
Right now. Do it yesterday.
Yeah.
If you're on Windows 7, I think you can wait a little while. There's going to be some security bugs that are going to be coming out. There's going to be some patches. Like you said, that big service pack 2 is coming later.
You don't have to feel any urgency. You got a year.
Yeah,
if you want to do that free upgrade, you have a whole year. And just to be clear, and if you listen to Windows Weekly, I think you know this already. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley have really explained the ins and outs. Microsoft hasn't done a great job. To be very clear, anybody using a legitimate authorized copy of Windows 7 or 8 can upgrade to the parallel version, you know, Windows Home to 10 Pro Home, Windows Pro to 10 Pro, for free. You have a
That's
year.
That's amazing in itself.
It's amazing.
That's amazing in
it's
itself.
It's a good deal.
I mean, think I still got my old Windows disc with the $299 mm-hmm. price tag on them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, do I really like? And you had to spend it. So I mean, for them, that's like a nice moment for them, because people still ask, well, how much is the upgrade? I'm like, it's free. It's nothing's free for Microsoft. I'm like, all right, well.
But look, is it amazing, or is it just Microsoft, you know, capitulating to
desperate.
What is desperate. Operating systems today?
That's how
Android
Apple does
upgrades
it now.
Are free. Yeah. iOS upgrades yeah. are free. OS X upgrades are free. Windows 8 was a massive pile of a word I can't say right now. So why would they charge you for 10 when they've just right. burnt a ton of bridges with 8? I mean, I feel like they had to give it away for free or $15 or something. I mean, charging $300 after all of that.
They last a long time of charging people when they shouldn't have. I'm just saying.
I think you're right. I think they should have cut the prices a long time ago. But
yes.
I don't know if they had much
choice.
It's
their business. I mean, that's how they make money, is selling
the
software.
This
I hate
Office
to tell you.
Like, that's been Microsoft's business as long as there's been a Microsoft.
Yeah. This is part of a reinvention. Isn't
this
it?
Really is a new era for Windows. We talked to Terry Meyerson, who's the head of Windows, for a story in this week's Business Week. And he told us about how this is, I mean, he said, let's just say nobody's working on Windows 11 right now. Like,
that's fascinating.
Here's Windows 10, and we're going to keep iterating on it constantly. And
we've
been
saying this for a couple of generations. Is this the last version of Windows?
It very well could be.
Could be.
What does that even mean, though? What I mean, honestly, what does that mean?
I don't understand that.
They had Windows 8. They had Windows 8.1. Now they have Windows 10. Who cares what they call it? They're going to be releasing updates every few months.
Well, I think the methodology is that they're going to do every few months instead of holding all their new features for 2-3 years.
But this is the last version of Windows as a statement, because I've heard Microsoft say that. I've heard a lot of tech reporters say that. I don't really understand what that means. It sounds really, really great. It sounds really cute. I don't get what it means. And in fact, with HoloLens, which is going to run on Windows 10, that thing's not supposed to come out. I think maybe until...
They said now next year.
Next year.
I think they said developer units by the end of the year.
And they've also said they have a five-year plan for it, but it runs on Windows 10. So, I mean, technically, OS 10 has been on its 10th version for a really long time, and they're technically iterating on that.
Yeah, but they still have... I mean, it's very clear that Yosemite is a big upgrade from...
Of course.
Mavericks is a big upgrade from... You know, I mean,
but you think this time next year... Microsoft isn't going to say, hey, we have some really hot new stuff for you. We have a new big upgrade.
I think
we're
going to
give you 10.1.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like to say it's the last version of 10, Windows 10 ever.
They'll do 12.
And that's not how marketing works. Like, you need to tell the common man
something.
You can't just tell me, oh, I got a new Condé Sonata. It's the same car. I mean, but it's new. But its features are different. Like, you got to name it something. You got to change it.
Yep.
It's going to happen. Regardless of what they say, which, again, sounds awesome, they're going to change it to something, because people need to hear new, because the human brain now is accustomed to new.
It might still be called 6C. Windows 10, but...
Yeah,
there'll be an... It's the last version of Windows in one sense, which is that desktop operating systems are much less important than they ever were. It's much more like, I don't care what operating system I'm using, can I... Maybe Office becomes more important just because of that, because that's what you use as a tool. And in fact, they're doing that on any operating system, including Android, iPad, maybe that's really the solution. You don't ask what's the operating system in my car, what's the operating system in my microwave. The technology has become an appliance. Although people, I think, do know the difference between iOS and Android, don't they? I mean, very clear distinction.
Sometimes a contentious.
Silly.
And people certainly know the difference between Windows and Mac. I mean, I still know people who are sworn to Windows, and they like the experience better. They're excited about Windows 10 and the start menu coming back.
Right?
Aren't we really all just Chrome users when it comes down to it?
My favorite thing is when someone tells you about the new features that Apple has. I'm like, the stuff Microsoft's been running for 10 years and you hate Microsoft? Like, wow, new feature. Like, just stop.
No, you're right, because that's human. Humans like to be on teams.
It's
like
what we do.
For their team.
They do. They do.
As I was saying, you've got a year to get the free upgrade. That's it. You are official owner of Windows 10, as if you had paid money for it. You'll get forced updates, by the way. You have to update it from now on. You can defer an update, but you can't defer it forever. And then I do believe after a year, I think on July 29th, 2016, they're going to start charging.
They've said that they will.
I think
it's going to be a ridiculous like $300 price.
Yeah, don't count on them not doing that. Well, it's $110 for Home 10 now. If you just want to go buy a license. I had to buy a license. Like if you're on a Mac, you have to buy a license because I'm not upgrading from an earlier version of Windows, that kind of thing. So I bought a license last night. I felt like a fool. $110
You feel like it was like worth it?
$119
It's a tax write-off. It's always worth it. America.
You know, what are you gonna, what am I going to do?
America.
It's America. I'm glad to support our friends in Redmond. They need the money. HoloLens, I thought they said it would come out this fall. Didn't they say that? Am I wrong?
They did say that. They did say that earlier this year. They said that they would have a version before the end of the year. And technically, in a way, they're still keeping up to that. It's just going to be just for developers and not for consumers.
But it's within the next year.
Yeah.
He said to the BBC, Satya Nadella. Yeah. That doesn't even sound like this year.
Might not be.
That sounds like within 2016.
Give himself some wiggle room.
Yeah. So it feels like it's not quite done, maybe.
Have you tried it?
No, but I have talked to a lot of people. You tried it at...
I've tried it twice.
Yeah, both times.
It's not done.
It's not done.
It is not done.
In fact, the field of view shrunk.
It's shrunk, and it's basically the field of view is just within like a rectangle in front of you. There's
like
no borders.
It's like you're looking through a cereal box.
So if you see something in front of you, you're like, oh, wow, look at this cool digital image, and then you turn your head slightly left or right, and it falls out of your peripheral vision.
Yeah.
And it kind of just takes away from the whole experience.
There's a new thing called VR Neck. I just want to bring this up. We have text phone neck.
Is it like Nintendo Thumb?
It's like Nintendo Thumb. I was talking yesterday, on the new screensavers, we were talking about this new sport, drone racing, which is awesome.
That was really cool.
You put on, but it's VR. So you have to put on the VR glasses because you can't drone race like looking at your drone. You have to be in the drone, in the driver's seat. So you put on these glasses, but the guy who runs it said, we really have to train the drivers not to crane their necks as they're going around corners. Because they get hurt.
It's like when I play Mario Kart on my couch.
Yeah,
and I'm
like leaning
to left or right as though I'm actually going to do anything at all. It's just pointless.
No, you're not. Yeah.
That's the funniest thing in the world because when you drive a car, you really don't do that. I mean,
why do we?
Unless you're
that?
Driving really.
I did when I first started driving a car. I remember very well driver training, which they don't do anymore. The guy would hit me on the back of the head. He said, every time you look over your shoulder to see if the lane's clear, you pull the wheel. You're pulling into the lane. Stop it.
I don't know if they're allowed to hit 16-year-old kids anymore either.
No, right? Times have changed. I am really old.
And that's wrong with America. That's wrong
exactly.
With America.
No driver's training and no corporal punishment.
These weak children haven't been hit enough.
So HoloLens. I'm excited, though, about VR.
I'm big time excited about it.
I am. I kind of came around. I was saying AR is going to be the thing, the HoloLens style thing where you impose images on a real world. But now having used VR a little bit with the Galaxy Gear VR, I actually bought the thing with my Galaxy S6 and watching movies and stuff.
It's, the cardboard?
No. I have it.
Or the white.
You strap it on
one?
And you put your phone in it.
Okay.
Only works with Samsung's phones.
Yeah, it's from Samsung for Samsung. In fact, it only works with
in cooperation with Oculus,
with one phone.
I think.
Yeah. Oculus is using, I didn't know this, but the Note was the engine for the Oculus. So it's not like they ported it. That's actually how it works. And cardboard. Did you do the virtual press conference that OnePlus did for the announcement of the OnePlus 2?
I did do that, yeah.
How was that?
It was cool.
So you put on cardboard?
Yeah.
And you're looking around?
Yeah. I mean, it only worked on Android. I mean, it was kind of neat. It's, I think, a little bit of a gimmick, but it's kind of just...
Did you feel like nice you were there? Little,
no, not quite. It still feels like you're just watching kind of a 360-degree video.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite feel like you're there, but it's cool. And if nothing else, I just like the idea that here's another company kind of saying, VR is a thing. You know?
I feel like we're making such fast progress now that it's going to happen sooner than later.
What's fast progress?
Well, don't you feel like it's accelerating?
Oh,
I feel like everybody's talking about it and everybody's jumping into the field. I don't feel like anything is useful or really working yet.
Oh, I don't know. Have you played with it? Have you used it?
I've only used it one time and it made me sick. But obviously all that stuff's been fixed apparently.
No. It still makes people sick. In fact, on my Gear VR, when you download apps, they actually have a nausea rating on it. On how, like, okay, for most people, no, this is going to make you sick. Seriously, because I get a little queasy. What I find is I get more queasy if I'm moving around. If I'm sitting still, it's because my body thinks that I'm, you know, my eyes are saying I'm moving.
And your body's not.
And my body's
it.
Not, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I think that's what causes it. So when I'm sitting down and like there's a Cirque du Soleil video, and you're being surrounded. The performers are all around you, and so you can look behind you. And if you look at them, they act as if they suddenly are performing for you. They're looking right at that, whatever that is, that ball camera.
Position.
And it's really cool. Now, Nokia announced a new one called Ozo this week that is a ball camera that's coming out in the fall. Of course, GoPro has one.
That they're made with Google.
Google Jump technology. The Ozo's interesting because it does a live version of low bit rate live version. And then you can also save it and do a on-demand version after the fact. And I'm told by people who played with it that the audio is spectacular. They have microphones all over it. And that's something that I think is going to be a big improvement, is that when you turn your head, now I can hear what's over here. Or now I can hear what's over here. I can hear.
And the jump, I think, is only horizontally around. So this one has cameras pointing downward and upward.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Owen. I feel like the technology is rapidly improving.
I'm not saying to that. I'm talking about there seems to be so many people in this space now that you feel like it's going to be the next thing. But everybody keeps pushing off when you're actually going to be able to use it for something.
Well,
to
that's do
something
with what it. Just happened with Microsoft. You're right.
So you keep telling me for a long time. We keep talking about the subject.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to be in somebody's hands. I want to have it. I want.
Well,
to
I have
it.
I have that. You know, it was $200.
Are you using it?
Yeah.
You
just tell me. It's great for adult videos.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're using it for one purpose only. That's it.
The worst purpose.
I'm sad that I touched this now.
No, not that one. It's $200. You have to have a Galaxy S6, or there's one for the Note 4.
And there's separate headsets for this.
Yeah, and you slot it in. It fits in very well. They have controls. There's a back button, a touch button. There's you can hear. There's headphones you can put on. And it works. You know what? I've used it a lot. No, not for adult stuff. But I've used it for there's a limited amount of content. It's kind of like, you know, when HD came out. But there's enough content that you really like this Cirque du Soleil thing. There are games. There's a really fun game where and I haven't played it yet. I've downloaded it. I'm trying to get people to play it with me, where you, as the victim, you're disassembling a bomb. But you don't have the manual. Your friends who are not wearing the helmet have the manual, but they can't see what you're seeing. Huh. So you're saying, well, should I cut the red wire? And they're going, well, let me look. And there's a paper manual. And they're going, well, let me look.
That's cool.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. So I think we're starting to see some very interesting uses for this. It is immersive. It's not perfect yet. Far from it. In fact, I can see there's a screen door effect. I can see the pixels and everything. But
virtual tour city. You want to rent an apartment? You want to buy a house?
That's going to be. I think that will be a big thing for real estate. I think know, for education, for kind of tourism in general.
So this guy who's doing the
huge potential,
the drone racing, is a VR expert. He's got a PhD in VR, and his company is doing VR tours of cities and stuff.
Makes sense.
And now as these, the GoPro is probably a few $1,000. The Ozo was about $5,000. This is relatively affordable. You can make these videos. Mm-hmm. And you can put them on YouTube now. YouTube works with cardboard. So if you have cardboard, which is inexpensive, you can really do this. I feel like we're very close. I don't know. I just feel like
I'll check.
I don't know if we're that close, but I think there's
July, and we'll see.
When I say close, I mean the time frame is like 5 years.
Yeah, that sounds okay.
5 years
reasonable.
To being like something that
like ubiquitous.
To have a decent, super
like
relevant
every,
to my life.
Yeah, everybody will have one.
Yeah.
Consumer, everybody corporate. I think 5 years from now it'll still be a pretty geeky thing.
All right,
And maybe like the next game consoles will.
Well, a lot of the focus right now is on gaming. Like Oculus with their new Rift headset, I tried it on at E3.
Well, that's what's going to drive
it's outstanding.
Well, gamers will spend money.
Gamers are early adopters. Yeah. We don't have a problem dropping $400 or $500 on something that we don't.
And you're
need.
Used to being in your living room looking stupid doing something already. Like if you're playing Call of Duty, you have the headset in.
You're already a dork now.
We have zero problem with that. So it's the perfect place to start, right? So. And since some of these headsets are going to work with established game consoles, you have content there. You can port it over. It's kind of a shorter jump than, okay, well, what's broadcast news going to look like? What's a feature film going to look like? What's sitting and watching sports going to look like?
Yeah, I don't know
if
I want to watch a movie this way, but I would definitely want to play a game this way. HTC says the Vive is going to be out this year.
Yep.
That's the partnership with Valve. And they've already shown demos of games. It makes a lot of sense. If you're in a cockpit flying a starfighter,
yes,
Makes a lot of sense. It's a natural
games,
use.
Games and tourism is where I see the big thing for this. Being able to see places and feel like you're interacting with it and not go there.
I could see us. It'd be very easy to make movies this way, by the way. Because this you have a single camera that's recording all around you, and you just tell your actors, you're on camera anywhere in this sphere, so perform. Act as if this is a real room with almost like theater, right? And I can imagine watching a movie where I can look around. You kind of do that on a big screen anyway. Look around. Mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, somebody starts talking. You look over here. They're having a fight. Well, wait a minute. The guy's got a gun over here. I mean, that would be very exciting.
That's a long way away, Captain.
Really? Yes, I don't know.
Never mind.
It's not it's actually not that long
away. I think it's easy to do.
Oculus just premiered a film in Los Angeles this week. I think it's called Henry, and it's about like
their second film. It's an animated film.
Yeah, it's about a little hedgehog, and depending on where you're looking and when you're looking, the cartoon character will react to what you're doing on screen. So it's not just being in the room and looking at stuff.
So is it programmatic? So it's actually, it will change what happens? Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, I haven't seen it. It was in L.A. I didn't get to go down for the premiere. Wish I would have. But I can't wait to try it out, and it's going to be on Oculus when it comes out next spring.
I don't know about, I mean, it would be cool to, you know, your favorite movie, you get like a 5-minute scene that you get to like live in and look all around, but I can't imagine watching a feature film and having to like turn my head the whole time, be like, oh, they're over there now, they're over there.
That's my point. And someone making a movie for it to show you the possibility, then making a movie where people have to make money for that action, I just see that as a far off thing. Yeah, but maybe somebody is, they're paying them like, hey,
it's
make
soon.
This so we can show the power.
It's happening.
Of it.
It's going to be here. It's soon.
Okay, I'm just anti this lifestyle. I like the world. My eyes work. I just like looking at things in real.
That's dark, fair. That's dark, actually really fair.
I'm a grumpy old man, and I'm sorry. I just don't care.
I didn't like 3D. I thought 3D was a joke.
I don't like 3D.
I didn't like 3D. This is not 3D. This is immersive. You're in the room with the actors as this happening, and you're looking around and you're going, wow, oh my God, he's coming down from there's Tom Cruise on a wire. It'd be very exciting.
I think the dark horse in this field is Magic Leap, which is already like hiring people in Hollywood to like work with movie producers and directors, and they could do something cool, but that's more augmented reality.
Yeah.
So that's like a whole other layer to try to figure out for the film industry.
I mean, hopefully what will be so cool that will get us to spend, you know, whatever money it is to buy these headsets will be something that we haven't even thought of. Because right now, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is what we know movies to be, and then imagining that to be in a virtual reality headset. And it's like, do I want to wear that thing on my face for 2.5 hours? Do I not? Right? So hopefully there's something else.
Maybe it's a half hour.
Maybe it's a half hour, but wouldn't
maybe
it be cool?
And maybe it won't be in a theater. Maybe it'll be Netflix doing it.
But think about like the smartphone or the tablet or the PC. Like, why did any of this stuff take off? It took off because it let you do something you couldn't do before.
Well, this you can't do this.
But maybe there's still, I'm just hoping there's something still in virtual reality that's out there that we haven't even thought up yet that will be so cool.
I think it's the new Apple Beats virtual reality headset that Odakta has right now.
Odakta invented this. He's the first to use it.
I'm selling these bad boys for $6,000 right now. $6,000 discount using the program code TWIT. Just go to my website.
All
and
right,
buy
imagine
like
this. From our chat room, Alexandria, Virginia. Daredevil. You're watching Daredevil from Netflix, and you can watch it on a flat screen, or you could put on the helmet, and now you're in that fight scene.
It would be cool for the fight scenes, for sure.
Well, that's all Daredevil is.
Yeah, that's true.
Fight scenes, bandage him up, another fight scene. Bandage him up, another fight scene. It's worse than UFC. At least the UFC's over quick.
Now, you know what?
What?
That's where you might get me.
Ooh! What if I could put you in the ring?
You put me in a ring there you go. You just sold me. Put me in a ring with some classic fights where I'm Ali and I'm beating somebody up and I just get to see somebody get knocked out like from first perspective, some kind of or football or basketball game where I'm on the court.
That's where it's starting. Make a little punching machine that you could actually get the punches. Feel. You could feel like you're getting like punched.
That's the future I want. When I can feel something. Give me that 4D experience. I want to smell burnt popcorn. I just love life. I got my eyes lasered. I could get glasses from in front of my face so I could be more close to the world.
That's the point.
On my face.
You can't be in Vegas for the big fight, except you can, and you can be right in the middle of it. Imagine sports when you're on the field.
Yeah.
Or you're at Wimbledon and you're a line judge. That's what I'm talking about.
Leo, let me ask you a question. You just went to Germany, correct?
Yes, sir.
I went to Germany.
Yes, sir.
Would you prefer to do this to Germany?
No, I want to go to Germany.
Or would you want to go to Germany?
I admit, there are, of course, you would always prefer the live experience. But how many times, who has ever offered you to be sitting on the court at Wimbledon?
Yeah.
There are some things that you're not going to get to do. But you could, like, you know, we could put a little thing in the studio here and you could be part of the Twit and you could look around. You could see what John's doing. You could see what's happening. I know
Jason's sitting there looking at the screen with a bunch of buttons. There's people sitting on the chairs.
All right, maybe this isn't the best example. All right.
I'm just saying. Even at the
Super Bowl. You could be on the 50-yard line of the Super Bowl.
It's gimmicky, though. I mean, even on TV, they've tried doing, like, the field cam where you're, like, behind the players and the thing that ESPN has on the string above the field.
Well,
but it's just not a good way to watch sports. Like, you've got the best angle.
I don't know, because it bothers me a lot, because I'm watching Colin Kaepernick, and I really want to see him make his progressions. And instead, the director decides, let's go see what the long safety's doing or something. And I'm saying, no, wait, I want to watch. Wouldn't it be great if during a game you could look around like you
control
do?
Control the cameras.
You know, if you go to a football game, nobody chooses the shots for you at the game.
If this you watch like your games on NFL.com or the network, they've got all the camera angles. And you could pick which camera angle you want to watch the game.
Well, now put it in your helmet, and you just look around.
Like I said, I'm a grumpy old man. I'm
a grumpy old man, but there's something about this. It captured my imagination.
You're both grumpy old men, all right?
True story. There's enough room for everybody.
We can agree on that, Nate.
Google is not giving up on glass. Oh, please, Google, give up on glass. They've got a new version.
Why do you hate the future?
I like new stuff, but some stuff is dumb. Some stuff's not.
Glass
is dumb. This kind of makes sense. It's aimed at industries like healthcare, manufacturing, and energy, where you might, for instance, let's say you're new at surgery, and you go, "Is the hip bone connected to the thigh bone?" And you have the little manual. You can look over your eyebrow and see.
If I were in the hospital bed, I would get up if I saw a doctor wearing Google glasses.
Wearing Google glass, get a new surgeon. But that's kind of the idea, is you're on the factory floor and you can refer to a computer without actually, bringing a screen to your face. I think that makes sense.
There are a lot of applications for glass that make sense. Wearing it around the city and make sense.
Do not wear it to a bar.
But I can see even in like a warehousing perspective, like if you're working the Amazon fulfillment center you just look around and like, toilet paper's that way. And you like walk over and you pull it out and could really save some time.
But could we ever get to a point where if the technology that basic glass is small enough and easy enough that it's just built into a regular pair of glasses that don't look so cyborg-like?
Or put it in my context. But see, that's why I like augmented reality, right?
Well, that's what it is.
But it's not. It's just a little screen over your eyebrow.
Well, it's not, but that's what the idea is.
The idea is bring it down and put it in your glasses, heads-up display. Right?
So say like you're in the grocery store, you're at Best Buy.
Right.
You're looking at TVs in real life like everybody does. And then you look at the price on your phone.
That's cool. From Amazon, but you don't have to do that.
Instead, it's just on your glasses or your sunglasses.
Well, that's why I liked HoloLens.
Would that be cool?
I felt like HoloLens was Google Glass done right, like better than Google Glass.
It's huge, though.
We're not
you can't
walk
wear that
around with that thing on our head. I mean,
now, that's just a matter of time. They're going to put it in contact lenses. Nobody will even know you're wearing it.
Well, Google's working on that, too,
right?
Actually.
So they'll get that.
For diabetics, right? Is that the application they're working with right now? They hired this like guy who did a ton of research into contact lens. They put him into Google X. Now he's doing techie contact lenses.
It can tell what your blood sugar is without, there's no pinprick because it's looking at your tears. Imagine the privacy implications. Google analyzing your tears. Is Google Plus dead?
I foreshadowed this like 2 weeks ago on Twitter. When I asked people if they remember what Google Buzz was.
Oh, I love Buzz.
Yeah, you remember what it was?
You were all over Buzz, weren't you?
I was big into Buzz, but I was the only one.
It was a lonely place.
It was a lonely place. Let's face it, Google has failed. Google Wave, Google Buzz, Orkut.
Orkut was really big in Brazil.
Orkut was huge in Brazil.
Okay, it's not anymore. They pulled the plug.
That's true. But it was.
If it were that big, they might not have pulled the plug. But Reader, we liked Reader. They pulled the plug on that. So it's completely conceivable. The big change this week was They disconnected YouTube comments from Google Plus. That was a big controversial move.
Thank God. I can't. I just need that. I can't even get back into my YouTube account right now because I was pre-Google Plus. And when I went to try to switch it over, I got lost in the ether. So I can't get into I got to make a new YouTube account. But I refuse because they owe me money from advertising. I got all this money sitting there, and I can't get in there to get it, to get my money.
There's always somebody like you, Owen. There's always somebody like
you. Hey, there's somebody, and I'm an important somebody. If you're out there and you work for them, call me because I want my check, okay? I want my, I need my money. Y'all got my money. Hold it hostage.
So Facebook wrote a, some have said a very scathing article, but I think well-researched, Seth Fiegerman.
Mashable.
I'm sorry, Facebook. Mashable.
Facebook would write a scathing article.
You'd expect that for Facebook. Really, that was kind of the premise of Seth's article, which is that the whole point of Google+, Vic Gundotra went around Google until he could finally convince the executives that Facebook was going to eat their lunch unless they did a social network. And so Larry Page, who had just become CEO, said, all right, we're going to go all in on Google+. They did. They made it part of – I mean, one of the things that – has changed. It used to be that if you had a Google account, you had a Google Plus account. That's not going to be the case anymore. But I don't think that's necessarily going to hurt Google Plus. It just means those inflated numbers about how many people are using it will go away because that was really just people signing up to use Google. Anyway, it's a good article. Mike Elgin, as one would expect, because he loves Google Plus, of course, our news director here at Twit, wrote a counter piece in, I think, Computer World in which he said, no, it's far from dead unless the premise is Google Plus didn't beat Facebook. E-Week, I guess. Okay. But, of course, Google Plus didn't beat Facebook. Nobody has beaten Facebook. Facebook, as we know now from its quarterly results, is unstoppable. They now own everything. It's over. Which is a good reason to use Google Plus, if you ask me. I don't mind or that it's Elo. Not Facebook or Elo. Do you use Elo?
No.
I have an Elo account.
Hello. Having one and using it is two different things.
That's true. It's beautiful and ad-free. I don't know if using a typewriter font makes it beautiful, to be honest with you. But
what about app.net? Is that
We actually had an app.net federated site for a while, the Twit Army. Prodromo's enter Elo. Oh, they have an app now.
They do.
Oh.
They've gone mobile.
They've gone mobile. That's pretty exciting.
Changed the game.
Yeah. That's a game changer.
I kind of feel like the question of whether or not Google Plus as a destination is dead as far as like a Facebook competitor is a little distracting from, I think, what is kind of an actual genuine success of the Google Plus effort.
I agree.
Which is just like tying all of these products together, getting you to agree to one user agreement, sharing all of your information from siloed products all into one, letting Google have a better idea of who you are as a person, and then, you know, Hangouts, which was already successful.
Love it.
Yes.
Was rebranded for Google+. Now that's more successful. Google+ Photos was really successful, and then now they spun that out.
It's a shame, because that, yeah.
Yeah, so Google+ as a destination never really caught on, and I'll point to that just like a lot of other folks in this echo chamber of tech journalism and say that was a failure. You're not Facebook, you know, ha, ha, ha. But there's so many other things that Google got out of this that everyone's ignoring by focusing on the fact that Google Plus is not a destination that a lot of people go to. And I think it's kind of missing the point a little bit.
Go there. In fact, I like it that not a lot of people go there. The less crosstalk and Facebooky it is, probably the happier I am. It's a different... But it's got great, still has great tools.
It has great parts to it, like everything Google does. They just throw spaghetti at the wall,
right?
And half the pot sticks, then a quarter of the pot sticks, and then you get the gems out of
that.
You
know where I think they went wrong? And this, I probably am the only person in the world saying this. They never created a third-party API. You could read Google Plus, but you could never write to Google Plus. And I understand that they were probably reluctant. People used Buzz as kind of a dumping ground for their tweets and posts. And maybe now's the time to do it. But create a right API so third-party developers can create Google Plus apps, can use Google Plus in new and innovative ways. That was great for Twitter. It allowed Twitter to explode. Obviously, they turned it off, but they allowed Twitter to explode because people used it in interesting and new ways. They gave people a chance to use Twitter in ways that they wanted to, not necessarily the Twitter homepage. Maybe now's the time for Google to create a right API for Google Plus. I think it'd be a great thing.
And if it was something else that was just open, like
that's it. Make
someone,
it open.
When someone tweets me, like if somebody tweeted me right now, all my lights in my house flash. I can't do that with Facebook or anything else besides Twitter.
You don't get a lot of tweets, do you?
No.
If I did that, I'd have an epileptic seizure.
It's only on one light.
Okay? Everybody tweeted, "Oh, doctor, right now."
I was making the point of make something that's open where people can access it and search it.
Well,
and
that's
find
what
it.
I'm Maybe. Saying. Make and it I'm if this with then you. That. I'm make it if you. This then that. Have an API. Have a rich ecosystem of stuff that interacts with Google Plus. Yes, I'm agreeing with you too, oh, doctor. Yes, I love you, man. Well, let me flash your light a little bit.
Team Grumpy Old Men, we're back. Boy, we're on the wrong ships, but now we are sailing together. I'm with it.
There is the risk, and I understand why Google didn't do it, that you just get a lot of people dumping content. That's what happened to Buzz.
Yeah.
You didn't use Buzz. You just put everything into Buzz.
Even if you just made it selective, like if you just allowed it to people and then filtered through like the great ideas or do something.
Well, I think it's
try
kind of,
something else.
I think that might be what they're doing as part of this is they've talked about focusing on communities, which are there are these smaller niche
they're
communities
good.
That love Google Plus to talk about Star Wars or to talk about Android. Or
all
whatever,
that is
right?
though is replacing Google Groups, right?
Exactly. But Google Plus, that might be where that pivots into, right? Yeah. So, I mean, Google Plus isn't necessarily dying. It might be broken up into many pieces with different names. But it's never really going to go away, I think, in some way, because there is now a social spine uniting all of Google's services in a way that didn't exist before. So they can get rid of the plus, and you might feel like you're not using Google Plus anymore, but they got what they wanted to get from it, and they still have a ton of users. And, okay, maybe they aren't Facebook, but I don't know if that was ever – that might have been one goal – but I don't think that was the end-all, be-all mission of Google Plus.
No, I think
it's a simplistic view to think it was.
I think what Vic was probably telling Larry and the executives at Google was Google has no social input to its search. Facebook, the kind of search Google does, spidering the net and making an index, is in the long run, doesn't have much of a future, I think, it's not enough. People want some social inputs. They want, you know, guess what Google Now kind of did is it started to take additional information. Facebook has all those signals. It's ironic because Facebook never really made a very good search. They tried the graph and the and stuff, but they never really did a good job.
No, they've miserably failed.
They didn't, in fact, Google didn't need to worry.
No.
But
no.
I understand that 4 or 5 years ago, there was a reasonable concern that,
yes.
hey, maybe Facebook's going to become a better search because of all the things they know about their users. All right, we're going to move on. We can talk a little bit about the new phones. Do you care? The new phones that are coming? Very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. We haven't mentioned Apple. Not. I think there's nothing to say. But if you can come up with an Apple story, we will. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the robots and how they're losing. So this is good news for humans. Humans won. Robots, nothing. Actually, humans, too. Robots, nothing. Our show today brought to you by, actually, a good thing robots can do for you. Invest your money. It's called Wealthfront. It's an automated investment service that is using very sophisticated algorithms to invest your money, not only to make you more money, but also to reduce your tax losses. Sophisticated strategies like tax loss harvesting and direct indexing. The point is to optimize your after-tax returns. This is the kind of thing computers do really, really well. And because it's being done in an automated fashion, Wealthfront is inexpensive. Traditional investment advisors, you know, I mean, part of the problem, of course, is they often have their own axe to grind, their own commission and so forth. But even after that, if you eliminate that, they still charge you between 1% and 3% of the money you have under management. Plus hidden fees for transactions and changes, it can really add up. With Wealthfront, it's 0.25% a year, and that's it. 25 basis points. No commissions, no hidden fees. As an example, you're investing, say, $30,000. That's $5 a month. And there are no additional charges. They've grown 20 times in the last 2 years, now managing over $2.4 billion because it works so well. I want the very simple thing you could do right now is go to wealthfront.com/twit and you'll get the investment, a personalized investment portfolio. You answer some questions about your risk, your time frame, and all of that. And they will actually just say, here's what we would do. You can do it yourself if you want. You'll see the customized allocation they recommend just for you and just for you TWIT listeners. You don't have to invest, although the minimum investment is now $500, which is awesome. So if you want to say, let me dip a toe in the pool just to see how you do, you could start investing today at a minimum of $500. And if you sign up at wealthfront.com/twit, this is a nice little added bonus. They'll manage the first $15,000 entirely free of charge. No charge, not even the 0.25% per year, no charge for life. So that's a pretty good start. You should be, it's fine if you want to trade stocks and have some fun in the stock market, but you've got to invest the bulk of your money for the long term, for your health, your family's financial health, for retirement. Wealthfront is really, really sweet. 0.25%, 0.25% a year, and there's no additional fees, zero commissions. This is a great way to do it. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to pay attention. You're done. Wealthfront.com/twit to get your first $15,000 in investments absolutely free of charge for life. For compliance purposes, I have to tell you, Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure. Okay, so I got Google Fi, as I think most of you know, and this really ugly Fi case.
That case is terrible. I reviewed Fi for the Journal a couple weeks ago. And used it actually up in Tahoe and San Francisco.
It's fine, right? It's like T-Mobile or Sprint. I mean, it's good.
I liked it a lot. The prices are great. But that case, that free case they give you is just
Well, I don't have to use the case, but I do have to use a Nexus 6, which is ginormous.
It is.
This phone is bigger than my head.
But it's also a beautiful phone. I mean, like, it's the display is great. The build quality is awesome.
Good camera.
It's just gigantic.
But it's 6 inches.
Yeah.
There seems to be I think in the phone industry, the thinking that's what people want, because you look at the new Moto X's, for instance, they start at 5.7 inches.
Yeah, but the bezel is even thinner. So actually,
it's not as big looking.
Yeah, it actually feels like a smaller phone.
Yeah.
Despite being somewhat similar screen size.
I was a big Moto X fan the first 2 years. I loved it. I wasn't crazy about the battery life, so I kind of gave it up for others.
Or the camera.
And the camera was terrible. Now, have you played with the new camera, 21 megapixels?
I haven't played with the Moto X. I had the Moto G for last week, and I just bought the G. The G's great.
I am so blown away. Now, this is a cheap phone. Starts at $180.
Yeah, yeah.
You for 250, or something like $250, you get the 16 gigs storage, 2 gigs of RAM. That's probably the only model you should consider.
Yeah, go up to the 220. The extra little bit of horsepower is great, and it's only an extra $40. And it's
what you think.
You know, I really loved it. I mean, if you're wanting to buy a phone off contract, I think this is the first phone you should consider. If you're a student, if you just don't want to, you know, spend $600 for an iPhone out of contract,
yeah,
this is a great place to start. The display in direct sunlight, I didn't think was great. It's
LCD, right?
Yeah, but in direct sunlight, it kind of washed out. But the camera, which is a 13 megapixel,
it's the same as in the Nexus 6.
It's based on the Nexus 6, but I like the pictures I took with the Moto G better than what I shot with the 6. Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty solid.
And you can use Moto Maker, so I Moto made it. It's kind of ugly. Okay, I admit it.
Red and green. Why?
It's lime, lemon lime.
Oh, lemon lime.
So it's a cherry back, black front, lemon lime trim. I engraved it, Chief Twit. $225, and then I bought the flip shell because I thought, what the heck?
Yeah,
let's get a little cover for it.
And it still is less than half the price of an unlocked iPhone with all.
And this is unlocked.
Yeah,
so I can use it. You know, I can put a SIM in it. I'll probably put a T-Mobile SIM in it, but I could put AT&T in it or any other GSM.
For the price, it's a solid phone.
I think like 90% of people should buy this phone.
Bang for your buck, you can't do much better than that. It's great. And you know, it's waterproof, and it kind of made me wish that every phone was waterproof.
I don't know why every phone isn't waterproof right now. Like, that's such a, like,
Okay, let's be honest.
Samsung did it with the 5 and then went back on the 6.
This isn't waterproof. It's toiletproof. And that's really what you want. This can survive half an hour as much as 3 feet underwater. It's toiletproof.
It is toiletproof.
Well, it's not. You're not going to swim with this. You're not going to get in the shower with it. It's so when it falls out of your pocket into the urinal, you don't have to throw it away.
So,
or when you get in a pool and you're swimming with your kids and you want to take pictures with it, people do swim with it.
Would you do that?
Yeah,
I did do that. Like that's the whole point of
using it as an underwater camera.
Well, you have to start. You have to start it before you go underwater.
Yeah,
so it only really works for video. Because once you're underwater, it won't register your finger taps anymore.
No.
So you mean I could actually... I was thinking this is more...
What about the side button?
Use the side button.
Oh, you know what? I didn't try that in my testing, which is kind of silly.
There you go.
I had the thing for a week and I...
So you took it in the pool?
No, not a pool, but under a sink in a... Actually, so my review's up on WSJD and we had it under a faucet. And then we dropped it into a pitcher of water.
Nice.
And actually, in that review video...
You call it a perfect phone for clumsy cheapskates.
Yeah, you got it. And in that review video, at the end, there's a scene where it was supposed to be like a punchline, like, oh, this is waterproof on like the iPhone. And we covered a toilet in saran wrap, and I dropped an iPhone in there to actually like have that in there.
Oh.
It broke the saran wrap, and I lost an iPhone.
Oh, that's all right. I've done the same thing. I put my iPhone in a glass of water.
It was a bit of a...
I spent $100 on my waterproof, but I do go... I got my... 5 and I take that swim with the kids and I take videos. And
wait a minute, you take an iPhone in the pool?
But he spent a ton of money on a case.
I'm saying I spent $100 to get it waterproof because people do that. And if
who makes that? Fisher Price?
What is the ugliest ass case I've ever seen?
Wow, you don't like red? What is wrong with you?
Guys,
first of all, I don't know if somebody has a disease or problem or something because I got the red case. Look, it's waterproof. You just lost waterproof in a toilet. Don't talk to me. Anyway. 6 feet underwater. It plays music underwater.
I think my nephew has the toy lawnmower version of that.
Oh, I love it. So good.
Listen to the music underwater. And it echoes the pool. It's cool.
Yeah, you know, I hate putting cases on my phone. Like, you'll never, ever see me.
Me neither.
Walking around with a case
except
on my iPhone.
Except for this fine Google Fi case.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I like about the Moto G is you don't need a case. It's just waterproof, and then you can still swap out the
It's so cheap that even if you broke it, you could get another one and still pay less than a Samsung Galaxy S6.
Yep.
No, I think this... You know what really sold me? Battery life.
Yeah, you know, I ended each night with about like 10 to 15% battery life.
If I just want one phone, any phone, I don't care, that can get through a day, I will be happy. And none of the flagship phones, today's flagship phones, can get through a day.
Well, the Moto X is promising, what, like 32 hours or something like that of battery life?
Really?
You're using a 6 Plus right now. Is that pretty good? Right now.
I should take it back. No Android phone. iPhones do it right.
The 6 doesn't.
The 6 is average iPhone. You need to charge while you're at work, basically.
Yeah. But the 6 Plus does.
6 Plus is great. I mean, I could basically fall asleep, not charge my phone, and still have 10% in the morning, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But it's also a massive phone. It's what I'm using right now because I dropped my iPhone 6 in the toilet shooting that video.
I think Apple has an advantage, too, because they really lock it down, you know?
Yeah.
There's no real multitasking on an iPhone. There's kind of pseudo multitasking, but that's what kills Android phones is all these apps waking up going, hey, I want some, give me some juice. Hey, I want some juice. And by the end of the day, you're drained.
I don't know if multitasking is the right word. Is that multitasking or is that things running in the background that you don't know about that are taking your battery life? Because to me, when I think multitasking, I think like, okay, I have my desktop. I have multiple windows up. I'm doing multiple things at once.
Right.
Your smartphone display, even at 6 inches, is only so big. And if you're looking at Twitter and YouTube on your phone at the same time, I mean, just do you really need to do that?
No. Technically, it's wake locks. It's the things that wake your phone up while it's off to download more Twitter feed stuff or get more email. And that's really out of control. Lollipop's tried to fix that, and they do seem to have improved it a bit. But iPhone, because Apple has such control... really does a better job.
I mean, maybe that's why they lock it down so much.
I've come to the conclusion.
It's a better user experience.
That's why they don't allow flash. That's why they don't do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because they know that those are all battery killers, and they've really improved battery life as a result. And boy, Android phones are suffering as a result because none of the top-of-the-line Android phones are worth anything. The last good battery life I had was the OnePlus One.
The OnePlus One was one of my favorite phones last year.
Yeah,
I can't
wait
for the OnePlus Two.
Okay, tell us. Let's talk about that. Now you went to the virtual reality.
Oh, I did. I did the virtual reality.
You went to your living room and put some cardboard on your face.
I'm working, honey. No, I'm working here.
But I actually, the OnePlus stopped by my office a week before the launch.
So you've played with it?
And, yeah, I got to see it, got to use it. It looks like the camera is actually going to be better. It's still a 13 megapixel unit, but instead of being sourced by Sony, I think this time it's a different company, and it looks like it looks like it'll take a slight, you know, like a better picture. I don't know if it's going to be as good.
Gosh, everybody uses Sony.
A lot of folks do use Sony.
Apple uses Sony. Yeah.
Apple uses Sony amongst some other folks, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sony is one of their suppliers, not exclusively, mm-hmm. but it still has the same 5.5-inch display. It still has that kind of sandstone feeling back.
But dual fast SIM. Fingerprint reader. How'd you like the fingerprint reader?
It was crazy.
People are raving about it.
I sat down an iPhone right next to it, and it was faster than an iPhone and unlocking every single time.
And more reliable.
Well, I don't know about more reliable, but you know, in the hour I spent with it, it was quicker.
No NFC. Does that surprise you?
It does, considering that, you know, it's being used for mobile payments like crazy, and they're running a damn near stock version of Android on the OnePlus 2.
So why wouldn't you
want Android Pay Google Pay when it relaunches as Android Pay later this year? Why wouldn't you want to have that? I mean, that being said, the phone does start at $329.
That's one of the ways they save money. So, they also don't do fast charging. They also don't do wireless charging. I think we can live without that if the battery life's good. They've increased the battery 10% over last year.
Yeah.
So you should get pretty good battery life on the OnePlus 2.
It's slightly thicker, and it's barely noticeable. I mean, I had both handsets side by side, and I could barely notice it. And I actually really, really applaud OnePlus for doing that, because most every other phone company is going to try and sell you a thinner phone just for the sake of it being thinner, just so they can give you one more bragging point to your friends.
Right.
And it's just not necessary. I mean, give us something that's slightly thicker, and if we get better battery life, I'm all for
it. What do you think of the Type-C charging?
I mean, it's where things are going. Is it a little bit ahead of its time? I don't know.
It's early, isn't it?
You have one phone, you have that
I have a MacBook and a Pixel, both of which you see, so I have all the C accessories. I'm C ready.
I got a C online.
I like it. Did you buy the $79 C dongle that allows you to do everything that a normal MacBook?
No, I think I got an off-brand one.
Monoprice has some. I've got card readers. I've been able to find a lot of stuff. And the nice thing about C is it's fast. I don't know if
it's very fast.
Lollipop or OnePlus will be able to take advantage of all the things C can do. They're not doing the fast charging.
No, they're not doing the fast charging, but they have one of the things that I like is they have a USB-C to old school USB-A cable.
Oh, it comes with it?
Yeah, it comes with it, and it's reversible, which is the first time I've ever
seen pretty wild.
Old USB cable that's reversible.
Yeah.
And then they're going to sell these for like $5 on their website. So let's say you do have that new MacBook that you spent a lot of money on. Instead of buying the $50, $80, whatever dollar Apple cable, OnePlus will sell you that cable for $5.
One thing that worries me, I've heard from a lot of people who've had problems with their OnePlus One, and it's hard to get support. Have they addressed that at all?
Well, yeah. The first OnePlus One was running on CyanogenMod, which is great if you're a hacker, you're a modifier.
I like CM, but...
Yeah, that's awesome. But what they're saying, what OnePlus is saying, is that now their version, they call it Oxygen OS.
I love Oxygen. I put it on my OnePlus One.
Exactly.
It's pure Android.
It's basically pure Android with a couple small tweaks. Like there's something where you can basically drag your thumb down on any part of the display, and it'll pull down the notifications tray, so you don't have to go the way up.
That's a nice
Which
tweak.
Is good. If it's such a big display, you're going to not want to, you know, so it's like small ergonomic stuff like that. And there are a few other changes, but
the V thing for turning on the light and knocking. And
you can like draw the flashlight on and it'll turn on. So basically, because it's so close to stock Android, they're saying their updates will get out there quicker because they're pushing them
through
themselves.
But what about hardware support? Because people...
It's a little startup. It's a Shang. I think they're in Shenzhen.
Shenzhen, yeah.
So what are you going to do if it breaks? You have to buy a new one.
You're probably going to have to buy a new one, or you're going to have to mail it back to the company. And, you know, how long is that going to take for them to get back to you? You know, it's interesting, though. I bought my dad one of the first Nexus 7 tablets, and I thought, okay, it's from Google. I bought it. It's going to be legit. It broke on him. We went to Asus to get it repaired. We went to Google to get it repaired. Nobody one wanted to fix it.
Yeah.
We ended up just throwing it away and getting him an iPad mini.
It's a shame these things are turning into disposable items, aren't they? And that I don't think that's a good thing.
I absolutely hate the idea, or even the words disposable tech, disposable gadget.
Me too.
It's just not a good idea. Not a good idea, but that's the way we're treating things, which is unfortunate.
Well, I bought
two. That's the way we cheat things that aren't an iPad mini, because I still got my iPad mini 1. It's been rocking and rolling
the cows come home. So it depends on what you buy and the quality of it.
Yeah.
Some things are disposable. That's the way life is. Some cars you could buy one, get one free. I wouldn't buy one, but they give you two one free. Free because it's disposable. It's a piece of crap. So,
but it's I think it's a fair question, though, of as these things become lower priced, like the OnePlus 2 is genuinely really kind of flagship worthy phone from what I've seen. The OnePlus 1, I think, was.
Competitive with every other phone in the market.
And that starts at $330, which is a great, great price, right? So how much is that worth to you? You can look at Chromecast. That started at $35, right? And that's part of why it's so popular and why it's sold so many.
Right.
You can get an Apple TV for $80. It's awesome because lower prices mean tech is more accessible. But most companies don't have a recycling program set up where when you're done with that gadget, it'll be handled responsibly.
It's going to be so sad in a thousand years when historians say, man, they practically buried this civilization in mobile computers. What was wrong with these people?
You think there's going to be a civilization in a thousand years?
I can tell you one thing.
You're living on a ticket time bomb. I don't
have any rare earth materials.
I'm buying land in Montana right now.
There ain't going to be any selenium left.
I got land in Montana, so when it slides off to the ocean, I got that new beachfront property.
You're going to be right in the – yeah, you're going to be the perfect. You're going to have coast on both sides.
Maybe I'm literally not joking. Buy land in Montana. I'm buying land in Montana.
How is it cheap right now, land in Montana?
Oh, man, I'm about to go get me about 100 acres. Just wait. Just
you get a mule with that?
Off. Hey, there's some woods with that. You know what I mean? Put a little tent or something
out
there.
I would actually love to do that. Good fly fishing. Yeah. You fly fish?
I might fly fish. I'm going to go out there to Flathead Lake, where that lake where you can like look. You could be in the center of the lake and see the bottom. It's so clear.
Did you get a brochure in the mail?
He's been looking at it in virtual reality.
You got a salesman going, Mr. Stone,
let me sell you a timeshare.
You slide over that ocean. I'm sitting on beach.
In Montana, they have a lake so clear. You can see all the way to the bottom.
Flathead Lake, baby. Flathead Lake.
Always be closing. Let's take a break. We're having fun. Owen J.J. Stone is here. Nathan Oliveras Giles from the Wall Street Journal and from Bloomberg Business Week, the great Mark Million. We are talking high tech. Did you miss anything this week on Twit? There were a few things that happened. Let's just take a look so that you feel like you're all caught up.
Previously on Twit.
Speaking of old timers, when'd you get that sign?
I got it on Amazon for $4.
Windows Weekly.
It's launch day.
We're really going to talk about Windows 10 again, are we?
Mary Jo had a review of Windows 10 titled Goodbye Windows 8. Hello Windows 10. You are sticking with it.
There's still things that aren't working the way they should. And for me, one of the big ones is OneDrive. But we kind of knew that was going to be a mess.
The new screensavers.
You call it FPV. Racing.
First person view. What does that mean?
Well, this one actually has a camera that's in the front of the rig, so you actually pilot it as if you're sitting in the aircraft itself.
Know-how.
We have been doing a little experiment the last couple of weeks, trying to find out how much bacteria is on your cell phone, because we wanted to know if something like a phone soap with its UV light actually kill all the bacteria on your phone. It works. These are totally clear. There's nothing growing here. That's pretty conclusive.
Twit. Technology isn't always pretty, but we are.
By and far, the worst is this.
Which one is it?
That's the TriCaster.
They're crawling all over the board.
By the way, it's not NewTek's fault. They when the TriCaster arrives, it's crystal clean. It's beautiful. It's pristine. But we have never, ever cleaned our TriCaster.
Yeah, the TriCaster is basically my plate for lunch or dinner, whatever I happen to be eating.
If you get hungry,
during
you get
a show, I just like slop it on the TriCaster
the
and
keys,
eat it.
You got a burrito right there.
It kind of has its own seasoning that it adds to it, too. So.
God. We're getting you some Clorox wipes.
Please.
I got my
help
Dash.
Me.
You know what? I'm going to get a Dash for you. $5. You know the Amazon Dash?
Yeah,
I got
my buttons.
If you're a Prime member, I got my button, and one of the buttons is for Clorox wipes. I should just put that right there on the TriCaster.
I've been pushing that button all the time.
Why would you do that? Because basically, you're kind of kills immune system. He's working every day because he can tolerate all
that's
things
a good point.
That go into that board. Cleaning that board is going to make
our
him sick.
Our technical directors never get sick.
Yeah.
Right.
Leo, come on, man.
They're immune.
I'm a doctor.
I got the Dash. It's the strangest thing. I thought it was an April Fool's joke. Amazon talked about it at the end of March, right?
Yep.
Right before April Fool's, I thought, oh, this is a joke. It's push button ordering. So I got the toilet paper one. I figured that'd be a good thing to have right there in the John, next to the commode. But it, you know, it's not instant. It's not, you know, it takes 2 days.
If you're waiting until that moment to press that button, you're doing it wrong.
At least
you're doing it wrong.
The idea is point. You know when you need it. So you push the button. If you are a Prime member and you've ordered that product before, it will repeat your order automatically. If not, it'll send it to your app and then put it in the cart, and then you can have to manually approve it. It has debounce, so if you've got a toddler that pushes it 100 times, it still won't make multiple orders. It only will let you repeat the order once the first order arrives. So you're safe on that. I think it's kind of cool. I can't believe that I'm paying Amazon for the right to order more stuff from
Amazon.
How
much are the buttons?
$5.
Now, here's the thing. What is wrong with the world that you can't just use one click? You know what? Don't talk to me. I'm just... Go buy it.
It's better than one click. It's...
That's why you ain't got no toilet paper in your bathroom. Because you buy one click, and then worried about the time you need to click, you run around with no toilet paper on your butt for 4 days.
You can even order toilet paper underwater, in the bathtub, right? Since you got that case, that waterproof
case. All day, every day. You can't stop me from shining. But Bluetooth doesn't work underwater, by the way.
Well, to kind of hit on the disposable tech theme, these buttons are $5. They have a Wi-Fi module in them. Yep. They have a small battery.
Yep.
What's going to happen with all of these buttons when they stop working? You're just going to throw them away, aren't you?
I'm going to make a necklace out of them.
See? More disposable stuff. Stop buying
all the toilet paper. All the toilet paper necklaces.
We live in a horrible, horrible society. You're right. It made me sad now.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to bum
everybody. No more buttons.
You know what cheers me up? Squarespace.com. The place to make your next website. It's so easy to use Squarespace. It's so beautiful. All the sites are mobile responsive. We had a guy called The Radio Show. He had a t-shirt site, and it was on Shopify, and it wasn't mobile responsive. And I looked at it on a mobile phone, and all of the good stuff was like off the page. And I said, "Dude, go to Squarespace. They've got better e-commerce. It's very affordable. And here's the deal: you can try it right now for 2 weeks and just see how it works for you. No charge. You don't even give them a credit card number. You just play with it. Your website will look great on any size device. Every website comes with a really nice e-commerce engine. In fact, if you get the pro version, I guess they call it the business plan." You get all sorts of nice features. You get ShipStation, makes it easy to ship stuff. You get calculators that'll calculate taxes. Really helps you. It's a great system. Very reliable, too. Squarespace is both the software and the hosting. So for as little as $8 a month, you get a great website that will never go down. You design it the way you want it to look. Designs are beautiful. They're powerful. They're robust. And right now, when you get a business or commerce system plan, they're offering $100 in AdWords credits. So it's free to try. No credit card needed. If you decide to buy, please use the promo code TWIT. That will get you 10% off your first purchase. And you'll get $100 in AdWords credit for business or commerce customers. I mean, this sounds like a deal too good to pass out. Start your free trial right now. No credit card needed. Squarespace.com. Click that Get Started button. And, for the t-shirt guy, this is a great solution. This is your main thing about all of this is you want the people who are using your site to be happy, to have a great experience, and they will. Squarespace.com. Don't forget to use the offer code TWIT when you buy for 10% off. We're talking the week's tech news. You did mention Apple. Let me see real quickly. I think there's some Apple stories. There was a rumor that the Apple TV will be coming out in the fall with the iPhone announcement. I don't know if we should give these any credit at all. But App Store on the Apple TV, SDK Siri support.
Well, John Podkowski is legit.
He's really good. Went to BuzzFeed. That kind of took away some of this.
Some of the credibility.
Some of his credibility.
Well, the only thing about this, and I don't discount that Apple is planning to release the product in September, but I feel like they've been trying to do that for like 2 years now.
Well, I think
like
that's what's going on. I think that's the issue is they haven't been able to make the deals, right? They probably have the hardware ready.
It feels like every time that there's an Apple announcement, we hear the rumors of, oh, this is going to be the one. And I think there a lot of legit journalists have said, okay, this is going to be the time when we see the new Apple TV. So I think, well, John's a good reporter. We can take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, saying, okay, it could get delayed. Maybe the deals aren't going
to
be
done. Right, not because John's sources are bad, but because Apple has just not been able to deliver this product. And it seems like they really wanted to do it alongside the new subscription internet TV service with live TV.
If I was a media company, I would not be trusting Apple either.
I think that's the problem.
Apple flipped the music industry over on its head, and now they're getting flipped back yep. over on their back. And if you know, just the fact of when the iPad first came out, and how many companies lost out because they didn't have their own streaming app for their shows and things like that. And Apple's trying to sell episodes, and they're like, "Well, wait, we don't want to sell through them. We want our own. Just come to me and buy." Like, so they started actually figuring out the fact that we can't just give you this deal because we need to make our own money. If we can make our own money using you without having to go through you, let's try that first. And Apple's like, no. Just give us a cut. And everybody makes money, baby. It's just you and me, everybody. And they're not falling for it this time. So good luck with that, Apple.
They got, you know, the Apple TV, though, is really out of date. I don't use it anymore. I very rarely use it because it's just, the interface is clunky. It doesn't, it's just, it's
what are
time.
You using instead? Are you Roku now?
Roku, Android then TV? The Android TV, then NVIDIA Shield. Frankly, I use my Xbox One as much as I use anything.
Mm-hmm. You love that Xbox.
I love my Xbox One. Love it's a great Xbox. Media center. It has all the apps. It has Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. The only thing it doesn't have is the only thing the Apple has exclusively, which is iTunes.
Which is it's still like the largest media store online for music and movies.
But they're
TV.
Selling the same TV shows and movies as everybody still, else.
That's where most people get their stuff.
It's also one place where it's safe per se. You know, it's the same thing when people say all the time, like, well, why should I buy something through Verizon? What if I move somewhere and Verizon isn't there and I own all these movies on Verizon? Like,
well, that's why I buy it from Amazon.
Again, that's why people buy stuff through Apple. You know, I got all Apple TVs in my house and I use it because.
But Apple, you can only use in the Apple ecosystem, and that's always going to be the case. And that I find very limiting. I feel like the reason I use Amazon is because I know I'll be able to buy it, to watch it. On a variety of devices, not the Apple TV, but everything else.
Just throwing this out there, Apple Music is going to come out for Android, right? It's going to be one of the rare things that Apple's making for.
Yeah, what's that going to be?
Something else.
The first app they're making for Android outside of the migrate your data from Android to an iPhone.
That's pretty hilarious. So if they're showing a little bit of loosening there, if they make these deals to have a streaming TV service, why would we think that they wouldn't have that on Android, at the very least. And technically Apple Music is going to be on Windows, too, because of iTunes running on Windows 10, not Windows Phone, but Windows 10. So, I mean, to me, if they sign this deal up and they actually have a competent, TV streaming service, something that will be an alternative to all of the apps from those networks like HBO Go or, Netflix, Hulu, whatever, I think they're going to have it on Android at the very least. I think they're going to have it somewhere else.
Oh, that's very intriguing.
I don't. I mean,
I would like to see that.
They're going to put it on that toxic hell stew.
Really?
I
don't think they'll put it on Amazon Prime because Amazon locks down just as much stuff as Apple does. But
I just don't see Apple getting that deal, especially right now when you look at Xfinity Go or Comcast Go, and they show you live TV. The HBO Go, all those things all encompassed in their channel. That's why Apple is having such a problem. They're like, look, bro, why are we going to give you this money when we're already running our own ship over here? We're not trying to parse meals with you and give you any more free food.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening in they're not quite there yet, but the cable industry is changing very fast. And, Showtime has their over-the-top app now you can get without a cable subscription. HBO Now is available. I mean, I think really once Disney takes ESPN in this territory, it's going to be the floodgates are going to be open from there because
Apple and Disney
everybody's
very
waiting
tight,
for this.
Right?
Very, very tight. Yeah. Very, very tight.
Yeah.
I don't think Apple's trying to make a deal with Comcast. I don't think Apple's trying to make a deal with Time Warner. They're trying to make a deal with the networks directly, right?
And even the local stations directly.
And maybe even them. So, I mean, that, just like Mark said, It's about pulling apart what the cable bundle is, right? So now folks
are
trying to reassemble that.
You're the cable bundle. You're scared because if you're in the bundle, you worry about Comcast getting pissed or falling apart. I mean, you're making a big transition that you might not be ready to make.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm bringing up the cable companies because they have a lot more equity and money in it to where they'll make the deal sweeter for those places not to go to Apple. That's what I'm saying. There might be conflicts behind the scenes going on with that because they don't want to give up that market. Not so much the individual channels, but if they're saying like, look, if you just keep it exclusively with us, we can make this money. Don't go to Apple. Apple's going to take all your money. Like, I don't know. Apple just seems to have a problem getting it done, so we'll see what happens.
Let's talk Black Hat and DEF CON. The big security conferences are in Vegas this weekend. We sent a priest down there. I'm hoping he can do something about it. Father Robert Ballesteros will be headlining our coverage. He goes every year. He talked a little bit about it on the new Screensavers yesterday. What happens is the week before, the weeks before, a lot of security researchers reveal, almost for publicity purposes, the stuff they're going to talk about at the conferences. That's why you've seen now three, not one, not two, but three auto hacks. There's the hack we saw in Wired of the Uconnect in the Jeep.
Yeah, Jeep. That was a big deal.
Big deal.
Recalls.
Yeah. cost Jeep Chrysler or Fiat Chrysler a lot of money, 1.4 million
cars.
They
knew about it for months before that article came
out,
too.
That's a little frustrating.
Which is the thing, right? I mean, come on, guys.
And I think they initially said it's not a huge problem. We don't need to recall.
Yeah, they did.
And then they recalled.
And then they said, thousands of vehicles. It seems to be a bigger problem. Maybe just a publicity problem. Maybe it isn't a huge problem. I don't know.
That's the company standard. Toyota had that. A lot of car companies do that, where they know the things are wrong with the cars, but they don't want to recall them until something really bad happens.
It's the universal standard. Nobody fixes anything anymore unless they're humiliated in public.
Yes.
It reminds me of that scene from Fight Club when he's on the plane. The character works for a car company doing evaluating crashes and then figuring out whether paying the settlements will cost more than actually recalling all the vehicles.
And that's someone's real job. That's how things
work.
That's
genuine, yes. Yeah. So. But it's not just cars. It's everybody. I mean, Apple doesn't fix a flaw until somebody reveals it. How about this stage fright? Now, actually, the problem Google has is that they can't fix it at this point because there's so many phones out of their control. Stage fright, according to, and this is another one I'm sure we'll learn more about it at Black Hat or maybe DEF CON. Stage fright is a vulnerability in the media playback engine on almost all Android phones. That means a carefully crafted MMS message could either, at best, crash the phone, at worst, allow a bad guy to take over your phone silently and without your knowledge. Google has fixed, of course, internal code branches. They've got a fix on their own phones. I'm sure they've pushed out a fix by now. But they're reliant on the manufacturers and the carriers to fix all of those hundreds of millions of devices. And you got to think there's a lot of devices that will never be fixed.
What's kind of fascinating to me is this really affects Android phones running Jelly Bean and earlier.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have...
up to 2.2.
Yeah. So if you have this year's, right now, today, your phone should be on Lollipop. Last year, KitKat was the big release of Android.
Right.
But the problem with... you know, what Google has to put up with every single phone, you know, it's like your Samsung Galaxy isn't going to get that new software update for 9 months later.
And there's nothing Google can do about it.
Well, that's what drives me nuts is it's not what Google can do about it. It's what Samsung, it's what Motorola, it's what Sony, it's what HTC, it's what Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, all the carriers can do because they get Android from Google. They want to skin it. Then they go back and forth between each other, the hardware manufacturers and the carriers. Mm-hmm. And then they add on their bloatware. And then they have to so by the time it comes to you, and so it's like I'm not even really mad at Google about this. I'm mad at the carriers and the hardware manufacturers for skinning and bloatware and just taking so long to get the software updates to us.
One thing Google has done, and unfortunately doesn't help you here, but they've done quite a bit of, is moving stuff out of the system and into apps so that they can push updates through the Play Store. They have control over that. So
that's helped a lot.
Yeah. In fact, you'll see a lot of Android services now in the App Store.
Yeah.
And you'll get updated through the App Store. That's why, because they know they're not going to get updates on gingerbread phones sold by HTC in 2011. It's just not going to happen.
It's a smart move on their part.
Yeah. But be aware, and we'll learn more. The proof of concept code has not been distributed, but I think it will be distributed this week at DEF CON. There's a researcher who says he can hack GM's OnStar app, open the vehicle, and start the engine. Again, we'll get a demo this week.
Are people still using OnStar?
It doesn't matter. If it's in the car, they can take advantage of it. I guess you could disconnect it.
Wasn't that the thing where you
push
a button and it calls the police?
Or you push a button and say, where the hell am I?
Yeah. It does a lot of stuff. I use the Hyundai Blue Link, which is the same version of it. And it's actually kind of nice because it's useful. If you want to talk to a person.
It's like having a butler. Like,
if I get an accident, they call me. They see if I want an ambulance come out to me. Or they do all kinds of stuff with it. So, yes, people still use it.
And so it's kind of like AAA?
It's kind of like that.
It's on-demand AAA.
It's very popular. Yeah.
What if I got in a car accident, my phone slides in the back on the floor, and I'm pinned to the wheel, and I can't get out? But the phone calls me on the Bluetooth and says, hey, do you need help? And I say yes. Like, it's a useful thing. It's still very popular. I mean, I'm paying $200 a year for the service. So it does a whole bunch of other stuff, too. Like, it gives me updates on my phone. I mean, it tells me where my car is. I can geotag my car. I can limit the speed and the geofence. So if I go travel to L.A. and my buddies drive my car, I can say, alert me if he drives over 55 miles an hour or if he leaves Gloucester County or whatever. And it'll ping me and do all kinds of stuff. So it comes with a whole bunch of features. There you go.
The hacker Sammy Camcar said the problem is the mobile app. If you don't install the mobile app, you'll be all right because he hacks the mobile app and then is able to use that to hack OnStar. But we'll get more details at DEF CON to that and a whole lot more because if there's one thing we've learned is as long as stuff has a chip in it, it'll be hacked eventually.
Nothing's safe.
By somebody. Wow. GM, of course, says it's preparing an update to the app that would address the vulnerability. It's days away. Again, don't do anything until you're humiliated in public, then get going. Facebook results. Wow. Facebook in quarter two, $4.04 billion in revenue. User growth only 3.47%. That's a little slower, but they are going to hit 1.49 billion monthly active users. You know, geez, could they have just gotten, you know, that an extra, what is it, 10,000 just to put them over to 1.5? Just would have made it. Oh, it's 100. Is it a million? What is it? I don't even know anymore. Those numbers, I can't calculate it.
10 million.
10 million. Oh, well, that's harder.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Although they're about to turn on internet.org where? Somewhere soon that could put that 10 million right there.
Are you talking about with the drones over Africa?
They got those drones over Africa, but where is it that they're...
You're right. They did a deal with a carrier somewhere.
Yeah,
I think
South America?
Eastern Asia or maybe...
Oh,
South.
Yeah, whatever. Mm. Soon. 1.49 billion people on Facebook every month. 800 million people on WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, every month. 700 million people on Messenger. 300 million on Instagram. That's not growing.
That's not. And I think Twitter has about the same number of users.
Twitter's
right?
Finally caught up.
Yeah.
1.5 billion searches daily. We were talking about that, but still not a competitor, I think, to Google.
I would love to know what they mean by searches. Is it like searching for your mom's name?
Social graph?
Is it searching? Right. I mean, because you're not going to Facebook to search for
car dealers. What's the best deal on a Hyundai? No, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, I think most of it is just searching your friends' names.
Yeah,
that's how I use Facebook at least.
How many of my friends were caught wearing a dress in public? That kind of thing.
The market didn't like this quarter, though.
Isn't that funny?
There was something
in
the
Apple.
Numbers.
Record quarter. Market punished them.
Apple was their forecast. In this case,
Facebook beat. So why did they punish them?
The market didn't like the spending. They're spending a lot of money on some of these internet.org projects and on hiring.
They say 1 billion people now have access to the internet through internet.org. Not 1 billion people using it, but that's 1 billion people who have
people
access.
People offered access.
Offered access. That's great, though. There are some complaints about internet.org. It's really Facebook.internet.
Yeah, yeah.
850 million people using groups on Facebook. I didn't even know there was such a thing. 450 million people using events on Facebook. 40 million small business pages. Let's see if I can find the number on...
I just want to know who's checking up on these numbers. Like the other day, you know, I was on Instagram. They have the sponsored ads now. So Walmart is one of the ads. They have 200,000 likes, but they only have 100,000 people following them. And I'm like, well,
how did that happen?
Who are these likes? Wait, like, you know, and who's liking Walmart like that? People aren't even following to see. Okay.
I think a lot of people just compulsively click the like button on everything they see on screen.
You learn not to do that quick enough.
Well, and then there's also, as has been reported multiple times over the last few years, click farms, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people making money off of that. So folks who aren't even real people clicking through and liking.
But
you
work for the Wall Street Journal. You can sort of, I mean, these are legal disclosures, quarterly result disclosure. They can't lie, can they?
They can't lie, but they can also not give you a complete picture, right? So when they say there are 450 million people using Facebook groups, what does that mean?
Right.
They aren't saying how many. Is that per month? Is that per year? Is that total in the
history? Oh, yeah, they left that part out, didn't they?
Yeah. So they can't give false information, but they can give you not the entire story,
right?
Which is what a lot of companies do, right?
Yeah, it can be manipulated.
Twitter reported 316 million monthly active users. That's pretty good. They had some decent growth. The stock went up because of that. Not that the stock market matters to me.
But then it went back down after Jack Dorsey started talking.
Apparently Jack Dorsey is going to be CEO because they just can't find anybody else. Even though he said, and the Twitter board has said, you got to have somebody who's full-time CEO.
Especially with Square on its way going public pretty soon. They filed confidentially to go public.
I don't think Jack Dorsey wants to be CEO. I think a lot of people want him to be CEO.
Oh, you don't think he wants it?
No. I think, like Mark just pointed out, Square is about to go public. The board at Twitter just said, we don't want to have a CEO who's
part-time.
Yeah. I mean, and come on, like, I don't think that board didn't talk to Jack before making that announcement. I don't think that
that board is Ev and Dick, and it's all it's all Jack's.
It's his buddies. So I think if anything, that was something to telegraph to the wider world. Hey, Jack's not going to be the guy. But instead, a lot of folks saw it as, oh, are they like fighting amongst themselves? Is he going to quit Square? I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Kara Swisher, who's writing, I don't know why, but she's writing, seems to be writing less and less at Recode. I feel like Kara and Walt are just kind of fading away in the distance now that Recode's owned by Verizon.
Vox.
Well,
TechCrunch is owned by Verizon.
It's still Comcast.
They're all going to be owned by Comcast any minute now, right?
Well, Comcast, NBC Universal is
they
Comcast.
Own everybody.
They owned them before, and they are investor in Vox, and
it's
then Vox bought them, and they traded some stock, and so really they're still owned by this.
It's the same people.
Well, Vox.
Vox. Anyway, Kara says Adam Bain is the inside choice. He is actually at Twitter right now. What is he, CFO at Twitter? They say he's very nice. That's it. That's all I have to report. He's sales lead. That's right. Yeah. Well, he certainly knows Twitter and how Twitter is making money. And he's done very well. I mean, when he started, he's been there, 5 or 6 years? Twitter was hardly making any money.
Yeah, I mean, their revenue growth has not been the thing that investors and Wall Street have, had a problem with. It's been mostly the user growth, which has really stalled quite a bit in the last few quarters. And so you put a sales guy at the head of it, maybe he'll...
Solving the wrong problem.
Well, that's one way to look at it, for sure. I mean, that's also one of the arguments for Dorsey, is that he invented the product and... sort of has an eye for new features and leading the product. So maybe he can find a way to increase user growth so they can come anywhere close to Facebook.
So Recode says that NBC Universal is poised to make big investments in Vox and BuzzFeed as well. So there you go. It's so confusing. I'm glad you're here to explain this all, because I don't know who owns whom anymore. Everybody's going to be owned by Comcast in the next 5 years.
Right. It's all the same thing. Same.
Doesn't change anything.
That's terrifying.
Horrible story. Thank you, Boing Boing, for publishing this one. We've interviewed Carl Malamud. He's great. He's an activist. His goal is to make government transparent. Among other things, one of the things he does at his public.resource.org site is publish state laws. Those are the laws, the people's laws. Apparently, the state of Georgia says those laws is copyrighted, and they're suing Carl Malamud for publishing the Georgia code, the official code of Georgia, annotated. They say this is copyright. These copyright protections are there to incentivize the state to create annotated copies of the law. Without the copyright, Georgia's law would remain unannotated, and furthermore, this guy is equivalent to a terrorist.
I love ridiculous overreactions by any government entity to anyone publishing anything, as journalism basically.
If I were a citizen of the state of Georgia, I'd be just livid about this. You don't own those laws; those are the state's, and we all have a right to read the penal code of our state.
I want to know what who actually filed that lawsuit and what, like, who's actually suing this guy, because
the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
There's no way Georgia is going to win that. It's going to get this guy's name out there even more. It's going to expose some ridiculousness in the state government. Yeah. Maybe get a few people, you know, a little more politically and socially aware. Like,
yeah.
It might have a positive effect of anything else.
Carl's it's doing the right time and he's doing the work of the Lord. Keep doing the good work, Carl.
Find the good fight.
Yep. I don't know. This is a great story for us. I don't know why he's doing it, but President Obama has issued an executive order that the United States must build the superest of supercomputers ever, thence beginning Skynet. The National Strategic Computing Initiative will attempt to build the first ever exascale computer 30 times faster than today's fastest supercomputer. Department of Energy, Department of Defense, National Science Foundation. It'll be primary for use by NASA, the FBI, and the National Institutes of Health, Department of Homeland Security, and the National Atmospheric and something Administration. What NOAA's weather.
Yep.
Accelerating delivery of capable exascale computing system. Oh, you know why we need to do this? Because as of June, China has the world's fastest supercomputer, 33.86 petaflops. We need exaflops.
Don't they have a really tall building, too?
Yeah.
It's like the tallest
Let's
building
get to
in the
work
world.
On that.
Is this the new tallest building in the world competition?
Yeah. Just not right that they should have a faster computer.
Are they doing anything special with it? Because China's still China. I don't know. I've been up and down China. There's a lot of places I had to wear a mask because you can't breathe.
In copyright news, happy birthday may finally be free. Did you know, I think you do, that Warner Chappell Music owns the rights to the song Happy Birthday, and every time, this is why you'll watch a TV show and they'll sing things like, for he's a jolly good fellow. They don't want to pay thousands of dollars in royalty to Warner Chappell for using Happy Birthday.
I did not know that. Happy Birthday is a song.
You owe us some money, says
Every one of my birthday parties has been a cover, like a karaoke in a sense. Like, I don't even know if I like that. I'm not sure.
Haven't you been to like the restaurants where they're like, it's like Chi-Chi's, they sing like a Mexican happy birthday or something?
Yeah.
Like, that's why they always have their own Red Lobster birthday dash. Like, they can't sing happy birthday.
They'd have to pay money.
So if I started singing Happy Birthday right now, that would cost you money.
I could get a letter from Warner Chappell saying you owe us.
Happy.
Stop it. I always sing it wrong. Happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday to you. Is there a guy at Warner Chappell who goes around?
A guy. There's a whole building. However.
How much does Stevie Wonder have to pay?
He doesn't have to pay anything. He's a living God.
Probably. But he sang that song, Happy Birthday.
Yeah, but that's not the same song.
Different tune.
It's a different song. Happy Birthday to
different words. That's when we go to court.
There's a lawsuit going on. Good Morning to You Productions filed a class action lawsuit 2 years ago. She was told she'd have to pay $1,500 to use the song in her Happy Birthday documentary. This is a lawsuit that's been going on for 2 years. They found a smoking gun. It's kind of complicated, but they found a songbook that had the words and music to Happy Birthday in it without a copyright mark. And in those days, it's not true anymore. You're copyright automatically. But in those days, if you didn't have a copyright next to, you know, your stuff, it wouldn't be copyrighted. And so it may be that this whole thing is going to go up in smoke. Warner Chappell had the actual document, the songbook. It was submitted in discovery. The other side got it, but it was smudged. It's really a great story.
Wow.
So watch carefully because soon it may be that we can finally, free at last, sing Happy Birthday on this show.
I can't wait.
That'll be a happy day. When's your birthday?
I'm excited. 10/17.
Come back in October.
We can celebrate every day.
Come back in October and I will sing to you.
You do that. You should sing to me anyway and cut the check. You got money, Uncle Leo. You love me.
I ain't paying it to Warner Chappell for using a song that's 100 years old.
At the max is $1,500. That's nothing to you. I didn't ask for an Audi or anything special like the kids. Help me out.
Our show today. All right, let me make some money, then I'll sing Happy Birthday to you.
Thank you.
Show today brought to you by My Mattress. I love My Mattress. You wouldn't think that you could buy a mattress on the internet, but you can. You may say, well, wait a minute. I don't trust you, Leo. I got to lie on this mattress to know if it's comfortable because my needs are different than yours, Leo. That's true. That's true. But whoever said lying on a mattress in a showroom for 5 minutes is any way to buy a mattress. It's not. So Casper does you a little bit better. How about 100 days? You can buy a Casper mattress and you'll get free delivery and painless returns within 100 days. You can sleep on this for 100 nights and decide on night 99, you know what? It isn't the mattress for me. They'll come and they'll get it. They'll take it away and you'll pay nothing. I love my Casper. I think you're going to like it. It is latex and memory foam. Comes in a box. That's great. I got it for my son, too, for his dorm room because it came in the box. They could get it up to 3 flights easily. When you open it up, it's wrapped in Tyvek, and they give you a little opener, and you open it up, it goes, and suddenly it's a full-size mattress. That's a queen-size mattress. Came in a box the size of a dorm refrigerator. Whoa! You could, now try that on your mattress at home. It is comfy, free delivery. It's made in the USA. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost, selling direct to you. $500 for a twin, $950 for a king size for the best mattress you ever had. That's about a third what I paid for the mattress I got rid of that I didn't like all that much. And by the way, all you have to do is use the offer code TWIT and you'll save $50. So that's even more affordable. Even Ozzy loved it. Casper.com/TWIT. Use the promo code TWIT and save big on your brand new mattress. No risk to you. Casper. We love my Casper. I love it.
So you don't have the no dogs on the bed rule?
Oh, how could you do that? Do you not like Goron on the bed?
Yeah, try not to.
Oh, man, you're a harsh taskman.
I don't
know. He's got little stubby legs. He probably can't get on the bed. See, he can't get on the bed. You try that with a dog that can leap high enough to get on the bed, then you tell me. Because while you spend your rest of your life going, no. Get down. No. Get down.
Yeah, that's right.
After a while, if you train your dog, they just know better. My dog's 10. He knows not to jump into bed. He comes and curls up on his little mat on our floor.
Right. Don't you want to sleep with your doggy? Is this
I don't need a furnace in the bed with me unless it's wintertime and I'm in a post-apocalyptic world where I don't have heat or a blanket. No, I don't.
It's a three-dog night, my friend, and you need a puppy.
I'm surprised Casper doesn't have doggy mattresses yet. I mean, they could come in something the size of like a graham cracker box.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Wait. Look, Jason, cut that out of the show before you post it so I can go negotiate myself a deal. That was a great idea.
That is brilliant.
Billions of Casper bet. Cut that out.
That's brilliant.
We'll see.
Goron, is that how I'm pronouncing it right?
Goron, yeah.
Goron.
It's from The Legend of Zelda.
Ah. Goron is a bat dog. What is he?
He's
bat pig.
A French bulldog.
It's a French bulldog.
That's my next dog. I want one of those.
He looks like a bat dog, and he's adorable, and he has his own Instagram feed. So
at Goron SF.
Yeah. He doesn't post as much as he used to. He's slowing down.
He is slowing down.
He looks like he's sleeping.
He's using Google Plus now.
Is he really?
No.
That's it.
Nobody is.
It's the end for Instagram. It's over. All right, two sad stories to wrap it up. Actually, one happy, one sad story. I'll start with the sad story. Maybe you heard about the hitchhiking robot that was...
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah.
I heard about it.
Yeah.
Americans are terrible. Is that...
So he hitchhiked all the way across Canada, no problem. This is a little robot, Hitchbot, built by researchers... From Ryerson and University of Toronto, and he's been going. So the deal is he can't move, but he could talk. So he sits by the road with his thumb out. Cars pull up, and he says, "Hey, give me a ride." Actually, I think I have a video somewhere of the robot. And he hitched all the way across Canada doing this.
Was Canada the only country? I thought he made it across another country, too.
He's been doing a lot of this.
Canada would be a good place to start. They're very nice.
See, that's the problem, is maybe that gave Goron the wrong idea. Goron. Sorry. Hitchbot. Do not let your dog hitch alone.
Goron will not be hitchhiking.
All right.
Can't get into the car.
Maybe that gave him the wrong idea, because he had such success going across all of Canada. The Canadians picked him up in Europe, too. He went across Europe, too. He's not going to make it across the United States. He left just a week ago, went through Boston, much of New England, See, there he is going from Halifax to Victoria. No problem. But just last night, I'm sad to say, Hitchbot met his unfortunate demise in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love.
But not robot love.
He was torn asunder.
Uncle Leo, let me
look
take
at that
some.
Picture.
Oh, that is so sad.
You don't know what this is. This is a paddy wag. This is an old thing that cops used to use instead of billy club.
Yeah, they call it a kosh. Yeah, you so hit somebody on the head with that. Yeah,
I keep one of these in my office. I got a bat downstairs.
It looks
got,
like a flip flop. We call them chonklas.
Yeah, it's a flip flop with lead in it. It's got flip-flop. Lead in it.
Oh, this thing will knock you out. But I'm just saying, you worried about Skynet? See, Philly, we don't play that. We gonna kill every single animatronic robot that we don't know nothing about in the street. I'm not worried about Skynet taking over androids and all that kind of stuff. Because you come out here to these
killing
everything dying. That little trash can look at me funny. I don't know him. I worth some money. Let's open it up and see what's inside. I'm just saying it's America.
2 weeks.
America's evil.
It got
evil
through, went started in Marblehead, got through Boston, got through New York City.
It got through New York. I'm surprised it got through New York.
Got to Philly,
it
and that
make
was.
It through Philly. But
couldn't
it
make it
make
through
Philly.
Philadelphia. It wouldn't have made it through Chicago either. Yeah. It wouldn't have made it through Texas. Yeah. Like, there's like four spots in the United States where you should have avoided. You should have came through Jersey if you wanted to live. You don't go through Philadelphia. You don't go through Chicago. You don't go anywhere near Texas. Like,
where's the fourth?
Places.
What's the fourth? I want to know what the fourth is. You
LA?
Said there's four. LA.
Yeah.
LA. People, do you see the traffic in LA? Do you see the people in LA? Nobody cares about anything in LA. LA is a dangerous place to be.
If you read this, read his Twitter feed. He had thousands of followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. My body was damaged, but I live on with all my friends. Sometimes bad things happen to good robots. And finally, my trip must come to an end for now, but my love for humans will never fade. Thanks, friends.
Can you do your rap lyrics in that voice? I want to hear the rap lyrics in that voice.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Yes,
those other brothers can deny. When a robot walks in.
Oh, my God.
With an itty...
Itty bitty tin, I think. Yes.
Itty bitty tin.
I go sproing. I like robots and I cannot lie. Now, here's the happy story. Man shoots down drone hovering over house.
Yes.
This guy looks like a real psychopath. William Meredith.
Yes.
No, he doesn't. I think this is great.
Is this also in Philadelphia?
Yeah. No, Hillview, Kentucky.
Mm.
A neighborhood gunshots called the police. Meredith told the police a drone was hovering over his house where his teen daughter was sunbathing.
Ooh.
So he pulled out his gun and shot it.
Pull?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, he did.
The drone's owner, the police say he was flying it to take pictures of somebody else's house.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith said, well, I came out and it was down by the neighbor's house about 10 feet off the ground looking under their canopy that they've got under their backyard. I went and got my shotgun and I said to myself, I'm not going to do anything unless it's directly over my property. And then it was.
Peeping Tom, digital expert.
He says shortly after the shooting, he received a visit from four men who said they owned the drone and said, it costs us $1,800.
Woo.
Meredith says he stood his ground. I had my 40-millimeter Glock on me, and they started toward me, and I told them, if you cross my sidewalk, there's going to be another shooting.
Okay, they're- Bill Clinton.
I told him. There's going to be another shooting.
I
if
did
you
not
come
shoot
across
that drone.
I did not
shoot that drone.
He's going to sue the drone's owners. He says, you know, when you're on your, you know what? I think he's absolutely right. If I had teenage daughter sunbathing in the back and some drone came, I'd be thrilled to shoot it. I want to get a beanbag cannon. So it's non-lethal.
Yeah, I would have stole it, but that's just me.
Yes. Shoot it, then steal it.
Right, I threw a blanket on it, trapped it down, and they showed up like, where's my, I don't know. Went and bought me a remote online, a DJI. I got me a new drone.
I got to praise William Meredith because he knew enough, even though he had a Glock, to get the shotgun.
Yeah.
Right.
He's been ski shooting before. He knows the drill.
Spread
you want a wide pattern. You don't want a narrow. You want a wide pattern.
He's done this before.
He looks like he has.
Shotguns into the air sounds like a really I'm totally bad idea. Totally sympathetic. To me. Oh my god. Next time he'll use a javelin, a spear, and he'll
spear. Oh yeah, one of the I believe in fairness. I use a bow and arrow.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the robot edition of This Week in Tech. It's been great having you, Mark Millian. Thanks for being here, coming all this way. Bloomberg.com/tech. That's where we should go these days.
You got it.
And are you covering anything exciting that you want to tell the world about? You know, something new?
Lots of exciting things. We'll have a couple of people at DEF CON and Black Hat covering all the crazy security stuff going
on.
Yeah,
that's
going
to be very interesting.
Gamescom we'll have coverage from, which starts this week.
Awesome. We'll look forward to that. Bloomberg Business, Bloomberg.com/tech. Nathan Olivares-Giles, he covers tech for The Wall Street Journal. Pretty good gig. What are you working on these days?
Not bad. Well, you know, I'm focused on consumer tech. The journal just actually had a little tech conference in China, so we do things globally.
Did you go to China?
I did not.
Two of our columnists
did. I wish I would have got down.
You've been
there
though?
Never.
You have been there.
I've not been to China.
Oh man, let's all go to China.
I've been to China.
What are we doing an episode of this show?
That's who was in China.
I was in China.
I love China.
Let's go to China.
I skip all the local dates. I'm going. I'm global.
China has great food. It's not Chinese food, oddly enough.
And do you know what the best thing about China is? Like, they don't take tips. You have to, like, force your money upon them. Like, they do not accept your tips. They just want the price of their food.
Good for them. I like that. Owen J.J. Stone, always a pleasure. Oh, Doctor. His new site is his old site. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
IQMZ.com.
Nice four letters. And I'm making movies now, Uncle Leo. I bought a new toy.
Man, that is some major commitment to movie making. Is that an official Steadicam?
Yes, it's a new DJI Ronin. It's awesome. It is awesome. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I just bought it.
Well, that's the Ronin.
Yeah.
Oh, DJI makes some really cool stuff. They're the Phantom guys. Nice, yep. Nice.
Nickel and diming me for stuff, though, because every time I buy something, I got to buy something extra. But it's worth it.
You know what's a pain in the butt, and you do need it? It's hard to balance that thing. You got to have the hanger so you can balance it.
Now it's like, dude, it's super easy.
Really?
If they fix things, it's so much better and so much faster. Because I don't even know what I'm doing. I get it balanced. So get one, Uncle Leo. We can make movies. I don't know what you're going to make, but you can make one.
Well, they'll be very steady if we do.
True story.
Thank you all for being here. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC on live.twit.tv. Please watch live or join us in studio. You can do that, too. Just email tickets@twit.tv. We'll be glad to put a stripy chair out for you so you're comfortable and can watch it. If you can't watch live, well, you can always watch on demand. All our shows are on demand. Audio and video at twit.tv/whatever. In this case, what is it? This-week-in-tech. Not a great title. Just go to twit.tv, click the link. That's probably the easiest thing to do. Also, youtube.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for being here. Another Twit is in the can. We take you now to Hillview, Kentucky.
Doing the Twit.
Along Early Wood Way in Bullitt County, neighbors couldn't ignore a certain buzz Sunday evening.
I love how news tells a story.
Cindy Diebold said for the first time in person, she saw a drone and what looks like
the worst assignment you can get.
What in the world are they looking for?
She wasn't the only one on the block concerned about the tiny unmanned aircraft. So was William Meredith, especially when he says it stopped to hover over his fenced-in backyard where his two daughters were sitting outside.
You know, wanted to see if it was going to stay there, and it did, and then I reacted. We live in a society now where we don't know what these people are doing. We don't know if they're pedophiles looking for kids. We don't know if they're thieves. We don't know if it's ISIS.
Meredith stands behind
him. I don't know if it's ISIS. Oh,
ISIS.
My God.
Come to chop my head off.
Whoa, that just went from whoa. I don't know if it's Jesus.
It could be ISIS.
It could be the Russians.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm not going to take a chance.
It could be Fidel Castro.
I'm going to shoot him.
I'm
going to shoot him. I don't care. It could be
poor man.
It could be Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday. I don't care.
Whoa, that escalated real quick.
Jesus.
Zero to 100 real quick.
Real quick.